you know, I finally got my Myth Kickstarter stuff, which
shut up,
was
we're
like
recording.
Oh snap.
Dick. Man. If I wanted to be told shut up, I would have stayed home.
Speaking of Dick, my quote of the day from Nate
true.
Newby.
That is a true statement there.
My quote of the day from Nate Newby is, I was so happy when I found out it had a penis.
Take that in whatever context you will.
It's beautiful.
Congratulations, Nathan. Nate has got a potential son.
Yes. Yes, I do. Normally, I'm not happy when I find out they have a penis. But in this case, yes, I was happy. And now I'm really warm.
Well, you're wearing a sweater vest. That could be a factor. Nice.
And it's kind of warm up here.
And another goddamn.
I was going to say a firefly t-shirt. What a change of pace for newbie. I believe that's his entire wardrobe. Like, he opens his closet, just like 50 firefly t-shirts.
Four of them, at least.
There's only four.
You know how many firefly t-shirts newbie has? All of them.
That's not
everyone
true.
Ever
that
made.
Is not
I
true.
I typically buy.
Do you have
the
Doctor Who firefly shirt yet?
No.
Oh. Are you going to get it?
I will have you
is
know.
Is it
that
on order?
No. John Acre, or whatever. He has more Firefly shirts than I do.
I don't believe
Woot
this
typically
at all.
Has a lot of Firefly shirts and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle shirts.
I'm trying to think actually how many I have.
See, if you can't think of how many shirts you have, that's way too many.
I have four.
No, you have more than that.
No, I only have four.
You might have multiple copies of the same
four,
but
shiny spacecraft repair. I have my brown coat shirt where it's Mal riding the Firefly. And then I got Captain Tight Pants. That's it.
The Firefly. Her name is Serenity.
You can't tell. There is no markings.
He would not cheat on Serenity with another Firefly. And how dare you? How dare you, sir? Imply that such a thing would happen.
He's not riding like that. He's riding.
Nobody could see.
And he was so happy when he found out it had a penis.
I'm going to be paying for that for a while.
It's going to be, we're going to take your picture and put it on.
There's going to be a baby shower, and it's just going to be an empty car with a big drawing of a penis in it. It's like, aren't you glad?
Guess who isn't invited?
I will get a dick cake delivered.
aren't you happy? It's and then just, that's it.
It's got to be like hidden though. You got to have like the little plastic penises that are like in the cake, like hidden in it. So when they cut into it,
like the little baby Jesus in King's Cakes for Mardi Gras.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, there's a Mardi Gras cake tradition where they put a little.
I thought it was a baby in there.
Yeah, it's a little baby. Yeah.
Like the little the nativity scene baby.
Like a little baby.
A little
they put it
baby.
In the cake. It might not be Jesus. I might have added that part. But it's a little baby in the cake. Like. 2-inch little baby, and they shove it in the cake, and whoever shatters their teeth on it has good luck for the next year.
I thought they got to be like the Mardi Gras king for the year, next year or something like that. Like there's some sort of title
you get
to go
be
with
the person
it.
Who needs obscene amounts of dental work for the next year.
Maybe you're not eating your cake careful enough.
Well, does it normally have plastic babies in it?
I'm thinking the wrong kind of cake.
Yeah. that does make a lot of
sense. Yeah, you just injure your gums, you're fine.
It's true. I'm gummed to baby. I'm king. I'm so glad it has a penis.
Zappity. So we should do intros.
Nathan, Rydia fan. There's a guy in the Steam chat today, and I was like, so Nathan Hoffman, are you Rydia fan? I'm like, yes. I thought I said that a lot, but yes.
Jeff? Troll Jeff to most people in town.
Patrol Bloods. Oh, okay.
Don't let him finish. Move on.
Hey, forum name. Okay, forum name. Come on.
Jeremy Calrissian on the forums.
I'm Andy. I play.
No, I was done. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm Andy, Major Tusk, and I play Mercenaries.
I'm Nate, the one that doesn't rant. I'm Kaichiro on the forums, and I don't play a whole lot. I need to still decide if I'm doing Circle or Convergence.
Oh, you're so indecisive. I also play Destiny Bad.
And I'm so happy it has a penis. I'm owning it. I don't care. You guys can laugh. I'm just going to own it now.
If you're not playing Circle, I'll take your Gorax.
Fuck you.
What?
You don't deserve my Gorax. What?
I don't know what that... Is that insulting me or the Gorax?
That sounds like an act. of some sort.
Involving fists?
kind of sexual move is that?
One of those Abbott Costello routines. You don't deserve Gorax. Feral Warp Wolf, you.
I please continue, because none of this is making sense.
I'm not going to. Jeff, I'm glad it has a penis.
Jeff, you are generally on the ball.
Yeah.
You fell off.
I've got nothing.
Like, you just continue. Dropped from SNL to Mad TV.
Ooh.
Oh!
Ouch!
Wow.
Hey. It is Spy vs. Spy.
I liked Mad TV better
TV.
Than SNL.
No, I'm pretty sure you like parts of Mad you. TV.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, just like I like only parts of SNL.
All right, you dropped from 1990s SNL to 2010s NSL.
There we go.
Like, you're not Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman. Oh. No.
I got a lot of work to do to get that
Chris
back
Farley.
No.
Right. The second golden age.
Yes.
That's good stuff. We were supposed to talk about
speaking of people on the ball, though.
Oh.
I have an odd, interesting story. It's kind of... where I work at, there was this guy that sat on an exercise ball for where he worked. And,
people who do that are so dumb.
Yeah, it's so fucking annoying. He was also the same guy who would walk around with this really smelly pot that he would have, like, take sips out of it. And he was like,
oh, wow, you're talking about a different kind of smelly pot. Okay.
Walk around with some Mary Jane.
Yeah, no, but it was just, like, sticky, some weird tea that is, it's fucking horrendous. But anyway, he was on the ball just... with a customer, when it exploded. The exercise ball just exploded while he was on the phone with a customer.
Oh, okay, you said on the ball with a customer. It's like,
they're just snuggling. Yeah, it's fun. Snuggling.
So you're ready to buy now?
No, but he fell down. His little his ugly tea thing just spilt all over him. It was so great. But anyway, yeah, that's my story about balls.
I have two announcements, by the way.
Whenever
we get around to doing announcements, I have two announcements. I don't know if we wanted to have Jeff's rant about Kickstarter first, but I have an announcement in my hands.
Well, this is the normal format that we go.
We can have the announcements.
Almost 10 minutes in without any kind of content.
We had penis and gum.
That's not always a highlight.
Well, I don't know what life you're living.
Not a good enough one, apparently.
So I have two announcements. Announcement number one is that Galaxy Quest is back on Netflix. This is important. Yes. Stop listening now if you haven't seen Galaxy Quest and go watch it and then come back.
And if you haven't, shame on you.
If you don't have Netflix, subscribe to Netflix.
You get a free month.
If you don't live in a country with Netflix, move to one. Or pirate it. Your excuses don't matter to me. Go watch Galaxy Quest
now.
You can
probably find it on DVDs for $5 too.
How many people that listen to this podcast do you think don't have access to Netflix?
Actually, there's some international
this
viewers.
Isn't like England.
There's that
is
one nice friend
yeah.
that we got viewer that we got from Uganda. You know,
we have Guam, which is technically an American province, but I don't know what kind of weird shit's going on out there. We get Australia. We get
Dave from Sweden. That's basically just mentioned they just got fucking TiVo.
We got German gifts on their way. So we got German listeners. Deutschland über alles. We have England, obviously. Various Scandinavian countries, as Andy said. We got stuff.
You know what's cool about having a friend that lives in Sweden is like music that I'm into. I can't buy over here. I actually got him to buy me stuff, and then it's being shipped over.
I need to get one of the English listeners to help me out, because I have a 3-foot-tall, voice-activated Dalek that can just roam around my basement. He shoots at things. He yells at you. It's awesome. But his
and he's trapped in the basement because he's an old Dalek, so he can't use the stairs?
Exactly. it's really cool.
I will exterminate all that come below. But...
he guards the laundry room. Point is, one of his arms broke, so the sensors don't connect anymore. And I looked on their website, and it's like, yeah, so a replacement arm's $1, and shipping to England is free. Shipping to America is like $87. And I'm like, motherfucker. So I need to find an English listener who's going to be coming to America for some reason and get him to just smuggle a Dalek arm for me.
Man, if you
I can't
really
imagine that look like
Dalek
an X-ray machine, you know?
Money.
It would be a terrible thing to have show up on an X-ray. Like, what is that? Why do you need that on your plane?
Yeah, no, you don't have to shove it up your ass. You can. When I say smuggle, I'm pretty sure it's legal to just bring. If you want to shove it up your ass, I won't stop you, but please wash it.
I was waiting for that.
Before and after.
Yeah, you don't want to get infected.
Okay.
I was trying to think of some way to say infect in a Dalek voice, but it doesn't work because it doesn't end in eight. And there's not a word like infectinate or anything. I was running through the thesaurus in my head.
You can make it up.
I was like, quick, mental thesaurus. What synonym for infect rhymes with eight? Still nothing.
Infectinate. That sounds fine.
Sodomate?
No.
All right, second announcement is actually topical, which is Charles Sutherland messaged us. So a last-minute thing. All of a sudden, convention out of nowhere. So they are doing a convention in a week and a half, October 18th and 19th at Cape Gaming Con in Camp Girardeau, Missouri. They're having Cape Gaming Con. Cape Gaming Con.
Cake? They're having cake?
They're having cake. There will be a baby in it. Somewhere in the convention is a baby. If you gum it, you are king for a year. Is it 410?
Probably a felon after that.
Yeah, well, you know, you'll be king of the prison.
Is it Missouri, you said?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, so.
Well, it depends. Is it Missouri or Missouri? There's a difference.
I'm not sure where the statute of limitations goes for that.
410 Kiwanis Drive, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, 63701, Arena Park in the 4-H building. 4-H? That 4-H is a nice thing. Saturday's an 8-man, 25... Oh, I skipped a paragraph. Saturday, October 18th at 10 a.m. is a steamroller. Two army lists of 50 points. Entry's $15. Saturday is an 8-man, 25-point scramble. Not N, it is multiple. It is 8-man, 25-point scrambles throughout the day. Scrambles are awesome. I don't know if you guys have done it at War Machine Weekend, but scrambles are super awesome.
I plan on doing them at War Machine Weekend
again.
They're
just little 8-man mini tournaments that they just run constantly.
Bring one list.
There's no... Yeah, one list...
Yeah,
there's no set start time. Just show up, and when there's eight people all standing in a circle, you just start a little tournament. Hmm. Yeah, they do a War Machine Weekend. They're a lot of fun. Basically, casual games.
You're
with
thinking
little
of scrambles they have at Denny's, aren't you?
Yeah, those aren't that good.
Eggs.
Sunday, October 19th at 10 a.m. will be a Mangled Metal Tooth and Claw tournament. He has no additional details, so I do not know how many points it is. Usually those are low, maybe 15
tooth and claw,
points or so, 25. 25,
35, something like that.
35 might even be on the high end of that.
Usually they're lower, like 25 or so, but I don't know. So, you know, show up with multiple options, I guess. Prize support is from Privateer Press. We have staff autographed posters. You have dice, pins, all kinds of stuff. There's other prizes donated by Geeks Game Galaxy of Popular Bluff. There's going to be prizes from first through third for the Steamroller Tooth and Claw and the first places in all the scrambles and participation awards. So even if you suck, you can get stuff. Any questions or to
That's
reserve
where I make
your
my
spot?
Money.
Oh, yeah, those participation awards, baby. And raffles? Raffles are the best, man.
That is it's where like, I get all my stuff.
I love Rick's tournaments because he's like, raffle for fully painted? Okay, it can do. I'll slap some paint on there. Raffle for arc markers? Fuck yeah.
Yep.
Like, put my name in every raffle, baby. I'm on it. Anyway, contact geeksgamegalaxy@gmail.com for more information. For example, what is the point value of their tooth and claw mangled metal tournament or to reserve spots? And that's what you get when you ask us to announce your convention.
Announce.
You read it word for word.
Hey, that actually went through pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed like we were on topic and on task. There was no, like, no dick jokes.
Well, I mean, we are allowed to take a 5-minute break every so often.
Oh, okay.
Back to the dick jokes.
Nope.
That was your cue.
That failed miserably.
Yeah. Blah, blah. That's what she said about his dick. There. I made a dick joke.
Done.
Hooray. All right. So, a couple things that went on.
Speaking of dicks. Oh, my God. No. Sorry. Speaking of dicks, did you see the whole thing about like lab-grown transplanted penises now?
I did.
I saw the title, and the rest of it I just left alone.
They can just grow you a new dick.
There you
Hooray.
Go.
We are actually.
I don't plan on losing the one I got.
But if you did, you'd be really happy that they can replace it.
Fair enough.
We are walking down that path towards living idiocracy.
How's that idiocracy?
When Jim Bob or whatever, he mangles his junk in some sort of accident, we can restore him to his full reproductive capabilities.
Well, I didn't say lab-grown testicles.
Yeah.
Just the dick.
Just the dick.
Yeah, that's still kind of an important part.
And there's still people smart enough to know how to make them.
It's true.
I mean, considering Idiocracy, the people in there, they just like press a button. And like,
unless there's a dick vending machine, like that's not happening.
Oh, I could honestly see one of those things in Idiocracy. There's just a big like soda machine with a button, just a picture of a penis. You plug it and thunk, thunk. Falls right out.
I think Japan has those.
What doesn't Japan have?
Decency?
Oh, right. But they might have that in a package in a vending machine. It's just not apparent.
The decency is all on the outside, behind closed doors.
I was going to say a normal view of schoolgirls.
So think of this. Think of you, if you were traveling on a bus in Madison here, or even a bus in any town in the U.S., you left your laptop on that bus. Would you ever expect it back?
No.
Not necessarily.
No.
A friend of mine traveled to Japan, left his laptop in Tokyo on the bus, and he went back later, and the people at the place had it in the lost and found for him.
Oh, not saying they're not decent people or good people.
Way to ruin a perfectly decent racist cliche.
Well, but when he claimed it was full of tentacle porn and...
Yeah. We thought you would like this. Wow. Wow. I was wondering, when you were like, if you left your... I thought we were still on the penis topic. Yeah. I thought you'd be like, if you left your penis on a bus, would you expect to find some guy selling it on the street the next day and you'd have to buy it back from him? That was a detachable penis reference there.
I think the answer is no, I would not expect or want to buy it back from him.
Yeah, who knows where it's been.
Seriously, I'm more excited for transgendered people. This is pretty awesome. They don't have to just turn your vagina inside out and make do with what they have. They can just grow you whatever dick you need.
I guess there Mac would be very happy. Wait, no, that's the other way around.
What?
Mac from Always Sunny.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's the other way around. That's MTF, right? Yeah. Or it's just a very confused female-to-male transition who hasn't bothered with most of the other work yet. She just got herself a giant dick and kept being physically slender with breasts. And then that's, although possible, not usually how it goes.
That's Bangkok, not, baby.
No, no, because those are usually dudes with breast implants, not women with penis implants.
Can't say no enough about that.
Are you trying to think back to that time? Is that what you're trying to
do? Yeah, he's gazing wistfully into the air.
That was the first time he ever went and said, I'm so thankful. Thank God it has a penis.
It's your trip to Thailand.
So Jeff hates Kickstarter.
I don't hate Kickstarter. I have disagreements with Kickstarter. See, I like Kickstarter when it's used to fund small businesses that can't afford to actually start a business venture or anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't like Kickstarter when larger businesses who do have a foundation or, heaven forbid, a credit line to fund a product start going to Kickstarter because they don't want to have to worry about a backer or any risk.
Like, so to stir up controversy then, not that anybody listens to this for controversy, would the second one of those examples include War Machine Tactics?
Yeah, actually. It's because they're taking the risk away from themselves with that Kickstarter, I think it sacrifices some quality control because they're not striving to make the best product they can because if it fails, it wasn't their money.
Well, if it fails, they still prevented themselves from getting the future money they would have gotten if it was good.
Right, but the cost of failure is there. They've got their paycheck, they've produced a product, the quality of which is debatable.
There is still risk involved because you have the backers that are going to be bitching.
But that's not really a risk, so to speak. Yes, they could hurt their customer base. I'm not actually striking out against Tactics in particular. But, like, you could have a product. Like any one of us could start a Kickstarter and make garbage.
There's the guy who did the potato salad Kickstarter.
Right. You know, that should not be a thing. Like, he should not have gotten funding, but it's the internet, so of course he did.
Well, if someone's going to give a guy money to make potato salad, let him. Let him be an idiot.
Or the flip side, you talk about it takes away the risk. For us as the consumers of the possible final product, by taking away the risk, it encourages them to do it. Like, if there's the risk to it, Privateer Press never makes War Machine Tactics. It just literally never exists because they can't afford to take the risk because they're not Microsoft. But once the risk is taken away, they can do it. And you can argue that maybe they won't work. So, like, if their own money was behind it, maybe they'd put their heart and soul to guarantee it succeeded. And if it's not their own money, they have less invested, so they don't care if it fails. But the flip side is at least the opportunity is there for us, which it wouldn't have been if they never would have risked.
I will give credence to that argument,
But I still feel that it's, instead of pursuing, like, we know we've got a really good idea, we think we've got a really good product here, let's pitch it to a more formal source. Get a bank loan to start up it. Go open up a credit line. All those are other options to fund a really good idea.
And those are options that if the idea fails, the company goes bankrupt. So the company says, you know what, fuck it, let's not try.
Yeah.
And that barrier of... You know, that's the issue.
My biggest thing is...
Yeah, I guess the difference is it turns into you get a lot more... You get more of mediocrity as opposed to a few grand successes.
Right.
This is coming from... I love Kickstarter. I back a ton of projects. But, like, a lot of times... Like, I'll back, like, a band I like to help them make their new CD because they're just a small band and they need...
And that's when I like Kickstarter.
My biggest issue with Kickstarter is companies like Zombicide... Like, did they need to go and kickstart Zombicide Season 2?
No.
No, they didn't need to.
And that's where I don't like Kickstarter.
That's where I feel like they didn't need to, but they, you know, it's their choice to do it. Like, because they had already got out there how, you know, Zombicide, and everyone loves Zombicide, so they had that following. Like, I don't feel like them going to Kickstarter, if they wouldn't have went to Kickstarter and just would have produced it and sent it out, it would have hurt them at all. I think they still would have got the sales and stuff. That's where I see a little bit of controversy with Kickstarters, with companies like that, where they have one product that's big and it's got their name out there and it's popular, but then they go with the second one out there on Kickstarter too.
Like, to draw a comparison, like the Reaper's Bones lines
kind
of bothers me. Like, they're pretty much just producing figures to have them kickstarted. They're not really working the other angles of being a business. They're now a Kickstarter-funded figure production company.
Yeah.
Well, at that point, really, can you blame them? We get your money up front. You're not going to get something for a good long time.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, it's just
pre-orders at that point.
Well, it's pre-orders and free interest for them.
That's pretty much the only thing I don't like about it is the fact that it's a lot of the new Kickstarters are really just a pre-order.
Yeah. If you front this much money, this is what you get.
But on the flip side, at least those pre-orders do usually consist of getting the product. I don't know if it has been a thing yet. What I would dread is if, like, someone, let's say Zombicide again, for example, did the Kickstarter for Season 4, and the Kickstarter prize is where you get a Zombicide pin or you get a Zombicide t-shirt, and none of those prizes consisted of actually getting Zombicide.
Right.
And then when it actually came out, then people had to buy it, because then that would be double dipping. That would be taking the pre-order money without giving the product and then actually charging for the product after the fact. And I don't, to my knowledge, that hasn't happened yet, but that would be the complete bastardization in my eyes.
Yeah, I don't think that's happened yet. I haven't heard of a...
No, they're usually good enough to front the product, but the thing is, it's getting so prolific, too. A lot of people confuse funding a Kickstarter with buying something.
Yeah, because there's no guarantee.
Yeah, they could go like, oh, well, we didn't get enough money. Later.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing with...
Well, that's the case. I mean,
But no, if you read the rules, they have almost no obligation to refund anything. Or anything.
If they make the goal,
if they make their initial funded goal, they will actually take that money. But if they don't actually make that goal, that initial goal, then no money is taken.
Yeah.
Once they the goal is basically contractually there, but before the goal, Jeff's right. Like, they can raise 99.9% of the goal and go, not enough money, fuck it, and pocket it all.
Yeah, and there's the reverse side where they
No. If they don't get funded, they don't get the money.
I'm pretty certain the contract basically says you are functionally donating this.
No.
It's you are only charged. It's only taken out of your account.
Once it's funded.
Yep. And even then, it's after. Well,
but once it's funded, if they can't get it off the production floor with that amount of money, or anything else,
that's correct. A risk. But it's it's got to be funded first before you get charged.
Correct.
Okay, so at 100.0001%, not the other way around, your money can all be pocketed.
Yeah. Correct. Well, and also the new rules for Kickstarter, they have released that within the last couple weeks or so. Some new terms of service where if you get funded, you have to produce a product.
But that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Yeah, it's not to say that, you know...
Dangerous the other way, because people can honestly attempt to produce something and shit can destroy them.
Well,
you know? Yeah. Like, imagine if, for an example that some of you might not catch, but imagine if Terry Gilliam had kickstarted Man of La Mancha, the...
Don Quixote.
The man who killed Don Quixote.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter how earnestly he wanted to make that movie, God himself said, no, this movie's not going to happen. And so if Kickstarter makes it so that he has to refund all the money to his backers, like, that's just double bad.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, there's been issues where, you know, it's a project's got funded, but they miscalculated, like, shipping and all that stuff. So they actually came out in the, you know, red because of
going to Rome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not, I mean, it's a risk for them, too, if they don't do their proper research and don't estimate everything out properly.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because Glory to Rome was the big one for people who know board gaming, because that game's great, and then the guy kickstarted, like, a super great edition, and then, like, he broke up... production was all being done in China, and then he broke up with his Chinese-speaking girlfriend, so he no longer had a way to communicate with the people doing production. He mismarked the shipping packages so that he said that they could stack them two pallets high, so half of his product got crushed by the other half of his product. He didn't realize how much shipping from China cost, so it's one of his back as one of his Kickstarter goals. He had free shipping on the games people were buying, so it acted like he was destroyed. And of course, people are like, "Fuck you! I don't care if you got destroyed. I paid for this game. Give it to me."
Yeah,
yeah. But in the honesty, they didn't pay for the game. They paid to fund to make him make the game.
And that's a common misconception.
Yeah,
yeah. And so those are reasons I'm not a big fan of Kickstarter. It's great for small industry. It's when you get bigger that I get more of a problem with what Kickstarter is and does.
Where's the limit then? How big is
too
big?
Well, and that's just it. It's hard to sit there and define a line like that. But usually when a company is large enough to create a pitch and secure a credit line for some new idea is where I'd consider the line.
Or in the case of Zombicide, where it's already a profitable ongoing line.
Yeah.
You know, McDonald's doesn't need to Kickstarter for its new version of a cheeseburger. Like, they're already McDonald's. They can just roll out a new cheeseburger as part of their profit line.
I agree with that. And that's the other problem I have with Kickstarter, too, is exclusives to Kickstarter. It is really cool to have that extra bonus. The only thing I wouldn't want is something that actually involves the game where there's exclusives. Like,
But that's how people are getting Kickstarters, though. Is like, this is the only way you can get it. Kickstart us.
Yeah.
And it's infuriating.
Well, I mean, like, a big one that I have is Boss Monster. Well,
yeah.
Boss Monster has a series of monsters that you could only get if you ever kickstarted the game. You can't get them anywhere else unless you pay somebody an enormous price on eBay.
By the way, did you back the Kickstarter Monster game?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah,
But that was like $16 to buy a video game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know, it's super cheap.
It was $16 to get the game and then all the extra little goodies, like the actual printed cards.
Yeah.
$5 for the game. That was more than
that's fine with me.
I've been of that same viewpoint with pre-orders even since before Kickstarter.
Yes.
You know, that's always infuriated me. Sure. It's one thing now with DLC where most of the pre-orders are temporarily unique and then you can later get them as a DLC, like the arenas in Borderlands 2 were. But I just, you know, I can go plug in Legend of Zelda in my Nintendo now and play the full Legend of Zelda game 100%. If I have a game that has pre-order exclusives or whatever, I can't do that same thing down the line if I buy a used copy or if the DLC isn't even available anymore and I don't have it on my current system. Like, if I buy a new PlayStation 3 and don't download the DLC because it's 20 years in the future so I can't, I just don't get to play in those arenas and whatnot. Like, DLC, it's sticky wicked because of that.
Yeah.
I think as long as it's not actually altering to the point where it's not the same game, it shouldn't really make that big of a difference.
Well, yeah.
They've leveled some pretty big pre-order bonuses. Like, Borderlands 2 is a good example of that.
Well, the pre-order bonus was the one arena. It was the bug arena.
No, you pre-ordered Borderlands 2, you got the Necromancer for free, too.
But not early. Not early.
No, you didn't get it early.
She came out at the same time.
Yeah,
it was just well, sure. But I mean, I don't know.
To me, it's
more along
Arkham Asylum.
Like,
probably
Arkham
a better
Asylum.
Point.
The PS3, there's different levels, like full levels. Like the PS3 version
the
had like the Joker challenge.
Yeah,
well,
but the challenge
still,
is that's not. I don't
well,
consider
the
that
Joker
to be...
challenge is exclusive to the PlayStation version.
Right.
The bigger thing with Arkham,
the
sequel.
Yeah,
no, the sequel. If you didn't buy a new copy or pre-order, you didn't get Catwoman at all.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just like there you go, just not in there.
Yeah.
I like things. I like exclusives, but I like them if they're added to everybody at a later time. Like Sentinels of the Multiverse, they had a bunch of Kickstarter exclusive cards for the times that they've ran Kickstarter. They actually didn't run a Kickstarter for Vengeance. That was just an in-house add-on instead of them running a Kickstarter for it. But they're planning on releasing all of those as a deck later on.
Right, and so that's more along the line of like the Mechromancer or whatnot, where it was free earlier for the pre-order people, and then later on, everyone gets to pay. Well, and I'm less not a fan of that than I am of...
Well, I mean, it's no different than War Machine Tactics, where you got the exclusive, you know, Journeyman Warcasters, right, which then came out to everyone, but as different sculpts.
Right.
That's sort of cool, where the, you know, Kickstarter people get the exclusive sculpts. Where even though I gotta say...
Or the High Command cards.
At least it doesn't affect the gameplay,
really
though.
Like the public sculpt.
Well, they're not going to market the bad figure as the one that they're selling to everybody.
Oh,
they
no.
They have to make sure that they sell the unit.
But at least playable-wise in the game, everyone has access to the things. Yep. I don't mind the alternate stuff like that.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Catwoman thing's bullshit, but the other thing that they had is depending on which store you bought Arkham City at, you got a different Batman suit. You know, if you went to like Best Buy, you got the 1960s one. If you went to Walmart, you got the one from the movies or whatever. And I mean,
I hate those. Yeah,
I dislike them, but at least it doesn't affect the gameplay. The game's still the same. It's when it's shit like you don't get Catwoman. Fuck right. You. That's insane. Or one of the really big ones was there was one of the SOCOM games came out like 5-6 years ago, and the people who pre-ordered did like 10% more damage in multiplayer.
Whoa.
Like literally they did more damage in multiplayer. Whoa. It's like, whoa, you just can't do that. Whoa. You can't do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's sort of like in those, you know, the technical free-to-play games where if you actually like pay, you'll get like weapons quicker and stuff like
everyone has that option.
Yes,
everyone has
that. I know,
and that's their business model.
Oh yeah.
So,
but it's, I mean, it's not time sensitive. The issue is that if I find out about Arkham City now,
right?
Fuck me.
Yep. Too bad.
Like just fuck. I literally for the rest of time I can never have Catwoman in that game.
Yep.
And that's what I'm saying. It's not like I can pick up Legend of Zelda and you don't get the Red Torch because you didn't pre-order this game. Like, it's fucking in there because it's part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with what you're saying. But Kickstarter's got some of those same trends because it's a marketing paradigm at this point in time. Is how do you sell your Kickstart to compete with all the other Kickstarters that are out there so you don't lose your money to the guy making potato salad?
Or you could be like, John Schaefer's? Is it John Schaefer? I'm thinking of the guy who makes Brutal Legend.
Tim Schafer. Yeah, Double Fine.
It's like his instance with Kickstarter is where we raised up all this money to make this game. Everybody gave way too much money, so like now I'm going to make this game even better. But whoa, fuck! I need more money.
Yeah, that was just bad math.
Well, and things like that happened. There was,
and it was, but it was honest. Like it literally was. I don't think he was like swindling or anything. It was like, hey, I need $100,000 to make this game, and they gave him $1 million. He's like, holy shit, I'm going to make a $3 million game now. And oh wait, I'm $2 million short, and I ran out of money. Shit. Like that was just like, oh, Tim, eyes bigger than stomach, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, and stuff like that happens though. There was a circumstance where I forget the exact scenario, but there was a girl who had lost her funding to go to college, so they started kickstarting it, and the sob story generated so much money that she could have retired on the kickstarting fund rather than go to college. like frugally spent, the Kickstarter funding was a better investment than school.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, anything's a better investment than school right now. Burning your money and then pissing on the ashes and then burning it again is a better investment than going to school right now.
Yeah. Did you see that Germany's making all universities free? And I think it's the one of the Chicago universities is doing that, too.
How does that work? Is it government-funded?
Then the Chicago University is just forgiving all student loans. I can't remember which one it is, but it's one of the universities in Chicago is forgiving all student loans in, like, January or something like that.
I think there was a shot of, like, Denmark basically showing, like, their free healthcare, free schooling, something else.
A lot of westernized countries are like that. And the issue is
minimum wage, or no, the 33-hour work week. That was it.
Yeah, 33-hour work week and a $20 minimum wage.
Yeah. Wow. Now the flip side issue is that they have gigantic taxes to pay for all this.
Right.
But if they have a $20 minimum wage and they have 75% income tax, you're still taking home $5 an hour. If you have a $7 minimum wage and they have 50% income tax, you're taking home $3.50. Like, so it all balances. Yeah. Yeah, single payer system would have been great in America. I'm not a huge, you know, government teat sucker, but man, this single payer is just so much easier than all this other bullshit we have to go through.
Well, the tax code is just too complicated anyway.
Well, the tax code was
designed
by... You go back
like 70 years when the tax code was a lot simpler, didn't have all the, you know...
The tax code was not any simpler.
Well, there was no income tax then, too.
Right, well, we had an actual surplus. We actually had money in the government every year. Now, you know, you just got politicians lining their pockets left and right.
Well, it's the more you make, the less you pay in taxes. The issue, it's the gap. You know, I think it was like Ben and Jerry's when they first started had a rule where the highest paid person in their company could not make more than five times what the lowest paid person in their company made. Pretty cool rule. And even when you think about it, you know, if your lowest paid person's making $20,000, the highest paid person's still taking home $100,000 a year, which is pretty damn okay to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of rules that people feel politicians should be paid the same way. Is you take the base wage of your government entity, and then you're not allowed to be paid more than a certain amount past that threshold.
Or they should. I mean, one possible thing also is that politicians should literally be allowed to have no money incoming except for their federal income.
Well, yeah.
Just like, why do you need to take money from anyone else? Why is this person giving you money, and what are you doing in exchange for them? Because that should never be a question we have to ask. And the sad thing is we don't even ask that question anymore because we just go, it's just a bribe so that they'll do something.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, there are problems. But
and it could be a good pay. You know, make $150,000, $200,000 a year, whatever. But you don't need to be a goddamn multimillionaire from being a congressman, especially since you don't do any fucking
work.
Maybe
you don't, but I certainly do.
Yeah. I can be a congressman. I can literally do nothing for millions of dollars.
Take advice from everyone who's got the money. Like, what should I do now?
Just sit around and disagree with a person to the left of you?
I do wish that we would vote out all of the incumbents. That'd be hilarious. Just regardless of what party they are, just vote out every single incumbent every single election for like the next five elections until they start doing shit. You're all fired. Next. You're all fired. Next. You're all fired. Eventually they'll do something.
Or people will stop trying to take those positions.
Yeah. I was going to say where they'll get wise and just say, I'm not going to. Well, no, it's still money.
That's not entirely true. Like a lot of people go into politics for the power rather than the funding. Nate's got a point.
But
funding
is
going to be a factor.
Money.
Yes, but that there are different forms of power.
Mr.
As well.
Smith is not going to Washington anymore. There are no Mr. Smiths going to Washington. They are all insert villain's name here. I assume it was Mr. Potter.
Wrong movie.
I don't know.
Right lead actor.
I know that. That's why I'm just assuming it was Potter. Who still has the goddamn money, by the way. They never got the money back from Mr. Potter.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
It's a Wonderful Life.
He
Mr.
got
Potter has all
the money because he took the money first, and then he still got paid out of all the people's pockets because everyone came to rescue him, and he paid that money again.
What?
At the end.
Oh, yeah. But he would have gotten that money anyway. But yeah, it's the money that he stole from Uncle Moron.
Billy.
They never got back.
Uncle Billy.
Yeah. Like, there was an SNL sketch, which was the extended edition. And at the very end, they're just like, wait a minute, Potter's got it. And they all go over to Potter's house and beat the shit out of him.
What's he going to do? He's in a wheelchair. He's an old man.
It turns out to not be a cripple. He's faking it. So then they just beat him some more.
I've never
seen
make
an honest man
out of
it.
Neither have I.
That's one of those classics that's legitimately good.
I've never seen it.
And it's in the public domain.
Not anymore. It's not.
What?
It hasn't been in the public domain for like a decade now.
Really?
And yeah, the NBC bought it. That's why it used to air like 500 times a month in Christmas time on every station because they accidentally made it public domain. Somebody just checked a box where they shouldn't have and made it public domain. So it was like, sure, why not? And then that's why now they only play it on NBC and only like a couple times because they bought the rights.
Those greedy pricks.
That's the movie industry, though. Like, it's going to be what it is.
There's better Christmas movies out there like Die Hard.
Die Hard's a legit Christmas
Scrooged.
Movie.
Elf.
I'm not fond of Will Ferrell either, and he's the worst part of Elf, and Elf is still amazing.
Yeah,
like that movie is just amazing. The fact that like the New York Park Rangers, like just when these Nazgul just show up, like that's amazing. Ed Asner, amazing.
Yeah,
What's that other guy?
I still love
I may have to watch it again, but I'm still not buying what you're selling.
I still really like Bob Step Newhart. Brothers, but
I don't like Step Brothers.
Oh. Like, I didn't like it the first time movie. I saw it, and then every time I watch it, it's just one of those that gets better. It's
amazing. Did you put your balls on my drum set?
I do not like that. I don't know. The
only thing that's worse than that is 40-year-old
Anchorman 2. I watched that and I was like, oh my god, this is so bad.
Anchorman 2. Literally. So bad. Okay, I saw it in the theater with my wife, and it was at the budget theater, so I didn't feel too bad about spending $2 to see it. But the entire time, they better have a newscaster fight scene because this is just.
And then the newscaster fight scene was terrible.
Yeah. And it was too long. It was like 20 minutes. Yeah. And again, John C. Reilly has to show up.
Yeah, and he was excellent in that too. I really liked him as the ghost of
Stonewall Jackson.
Yeah. Stonewall Jackson.
Yes. You will give me your soul, son.
No. Well, he tried no to souls. That goddamn movie. And no to Step Brothers.
So if we're going on
and
movies.
All the stupid cameos. Celebrities just signing on. Oh, wait, I can be in this movie for 2 minutes? Okay.
So,
Will Smith, you failed.
Have some dignity, Han Solo.
Oh, God, he was in that too.
Yes, he was in that same goddamn scene for no reason.
Kirsten Dunst up on the top of that building as the guy, oh, you can fight now.
Just so stupid.
It was terrible.
Goddamn stupid.
Well, right. Let's move on.
Fuck
so,
you, Will
Ferrell.
Spoilers?
I finally watched Godzilla, the new one.
Yeah.
Pretty legit. Yeah. I really like it.
I watched I, Frankenstein on demand. I don't see where all the hate was coming from.
Terrible. We enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah. It was terrible, but we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it wasn't bad.
It was
better
bad.
Than RoboCop.
Well, it's
Just go.
I haven't seen it, but it's probably my feeling towards like Hansel and Gretel, where I'm like, God, I don't want to watch this. And my wife turned it on.
Hansel and Gretel turned out really good.
And I watched it, and I'm like, wow.
I haven't
seen it, but I've heard that it's better than I, Frankenstein.
We all enjoyed our experience watching I, Frankenstein.
And that's
none of us said it was a good movie.
And that's what I got to say with Hansel and Gretel is I enjoyed the experience. Yeah.
But no, the new Godzilla, I love the people who badmouth the new Godzilla, like, oh my god, Godzilla was barely in it. It was just like 90 minutes of bad science and stuff. It's like, have you ever seen a Godzilla movie? They're all 90% bad science and annoying humans, and then Godzilla wrecks some shit, and the movie ends. That's how it works.
The one thing I got to say, though, is I was really surprised when Cranston died, because I was like, oh, they're pushing him hard in this movie. And then he, like,
spoilers, dick.
You didn't see it?
That's not why you're going to see that movie.
He's kidding. Cranston doesn't die.
He doesn't die.
He ends up being better.
He gets lung cancer. He
turns into Godzilla. Yeah. He dies and
he wakes up. He's a werekaiju. Dream.
Oh, you mean like the entire Malcolm in the Middle Breaking Bad thing?
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah, Godzilla was good.
Godzilla was pretty solid.
I look forward to a sequel.
There's a video online of all 8 minutes where Godzilla is actually on screen, just in a row. Just an 8-minute video where it's nothing but Godzilla. And I masturbate to that daily. It's so good. Oh, my God. When it's all dark.
I got nothing.
Oh, no. When it's all dark and you can't see anything, and then you just see the blue speck and then another blue speck, and and you're like, oh, my God, his tail's glowing blue. It's boom! Money shot every time. Oh, so fucking amazing. I love Godzilla. I'll be right back. I have to take care of this erection.
Yeah,
he's got some atomic fire to discharge.
That means semen.
Yes, that was where I was going with that.
Just double checking.
Hopefully yours doesn't glow blue and burn, but
you
know.
Sometimes. It's radioactive.
So, about those spoilers.
No. No. I will say this. I will thank the internet kindly for organizing all of your spoilers into very specific threads where I can avoid. I've been very happy about that because I know nothing about
the book. I will say...
I've been cheating and staring at some of the spoiler stuff.
Don't do it to me.
I'm going to say two things, neither of which are very spoilerific. Number one, I am very happy as a Minions player. God. Number two, there was a model that somebody described, and I went, oh my god, I'm totally going to modify that into Peace from Wizards, which was a reference I thought no one else would get, and it's all over the internet. I'm like, oh. And on one hand, I'm so happy other people have seen Wizards. On the other hand, I wanted to be unique. The commentary track to Wizards is hilarious.
I haven't got a chance to see the commentary.
So you've seen Wizards.
Yes.
You're familiar with the movie Wizards.
Yes.
So one of the things commentary track, Ralph Bakshi early on is like, yeah, there were a lot of challenges because this was the first children's movie I did.
What? What? With like a buxom fairy lady like straddling the wizards, like you can just stare there.
She's wearing saran wrap outfit with her nipples just sticking out, straddling the hero, and he's like, "Yeah, stand there, baby. I'll enjoy the view." Yeah, that's his first children's movie. Yeah. That's how fucked up Ralph Bakshi is.
Isn't he the one who did all the animated Lord of the Rings?
Well, there's two different animated Lord of the Rings. There's the he did the animated Hobbit.
Okay.
And then there's also the shitty Rankin Bass version of the Lord of the Rings. Yeah. But yeah, he did the ballsy awesome version.
Yeah, like, I actually recommend watching Wizards. It's a surprisingly fun movie. It's not, it hasn't aged very well.
It's cheesy 70s. I dig the rotoscope technique. One thing he did just for financial reasons is that there's huge battle scenes between all these orcs and demons and elves and dwarves and everything fighting. And all he did for this was he took inexpensive stock footage, and it's funny, it's as a film buff I can recognize the movies. I'm like, that's from Zulu, that's from that, I know all these movies. But he took this stock footage from live action films and painted over them like glowing eyes, horns, wings and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of cool stylistically, even if it was just a cheap shortcut.
Nice.
But I mean, I am of color to painting because I'm fairly fond of that old like 60s 70s bad sci-fi.
Also has Mark Hamill doing voice work, which is always good. I think it might have been his first voice acting role after he hit it big in Star Wars.
It could have been. There wasn't a lot of voice acting in that movie to begin with. I mean, it's an animated flick, but there's not a lot of speaking. There's a lot more yelling and gun noises.
Is this on the Netflix?
I don't think so.
If not, I have it on DVD.
Bring it over.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Like I said, it's kind of got that. That Idiocracy style thing where even if the movie isn't solid in your mind start to finish, there are scenes that are brilliant.
Fritz.
The whole killed Fritz thing is fucking amazing. The two priests praying for guidance for the evil guys, it's just amazing. Like, it has all these amazing scenes that are just in there, and then the movie just moves on.
When you guys were talking about Wizards at the first show, immediately my mind...
The Nintendo movie?
Went to Fred Savage. Yeah. I'm like... I don't remember any of this happening. I remember
there's
Super
a model.
Mario 3.
Yeah. There's a model in the new book that has a power glove. That's why I was saying it reminds you of Wizards.
Oh, okay.
It's true. And he can't do anything, just like the real power glove.
Okay. Hey, I actually played with the power glove. It wasn't too bad.
It's terrible.
You just had to keep it inside that box.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So bad.
So did anyone else forget that it was the WTC this past weekend?
I did.
Same here.
I knew that it was happening, and I didn't really pay attention. I know we won.
America! Yeah.
America won.
No, I completely forgot. I got up on I saw it Sunday night, and they showed a picture, and I'm like, oh. Oh, yeah, that was going on.
Yeah, it's on Facebook. America wins. I'm like, what? Yeah. Oh, okay, then.
Good for them.
My bad.
Yeah.
Wait, this is the 1977.
Yeah.
If it was done by Mark Hamill, that would
No, it wasn't done by. He was,
I mean, what I mean, if he did voices for it, this would have been...
Simultaneous
to it.
Well, depending on how quickly it came out. But yeah, it was right around that same time. But
February 97.
So I guess it does predate,
so it was before it.
But
interesting.
Yep. No, it's an interesting movie. Like you said, it hasn't like Jeff said, it hasn't necessarily aged well, but it's aged badly in an interesting way. Like it's one of those movies that's still worth seeing.
It's become a part of film history to the point where like yes, you should watch it just to say you have.
Ah, okay.
Wait, it says here it's voiced by Adolf Hitler by himself.
Stock footage.
Okay, I was gonna say because I'm looking through the list here.
There is, and so, this is not a joke. There is a lot of Nazi propaganda footage in this movie.
Oh yeah,
so I'm looking in here and I'm seeing. I saw like Mark Hamill, so I start scrolling down even more, and then the first name that actually caught my eye was Heinrich Himmler.
As
himself. I'm like, what? And I see Adolf Hitler. I'm like, what?
They filmed on location in Venezuela. Yeah, it's an anti-Nazi film in 1977.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
Well, although, depending on when was the whole the Munich thing and whatnot. Like, what was anti-Semitism like at the time?
Was it Munich 80s?
You're looking at me like I know the answer, and I don't have a goddamn clue.
I'm looking in a random direction. Well, because Newbie's to my right, and he doesn't know anything, so I look to my left.
I think Munich was 79, I want to
okay.
say.
I thought it was around the 80 mark.
Well, I mean, it's still got that fallout from the 60s, the whole anti-war thing,
yeah,
too.
Right. It has two messages: peace and love are wonderful, and Nazis are evil. Those are the two messages of the movie Wizards. That and the main character's awesome.
Wizards who smoke with their feet are awesome.
Yeah, Avatar is great. Wizards who smoke cigars with their feet and have big-titted fairy sidekicks are awesome.
Oh, never mind. Wow. Munich was in 72.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. Never mind. Could have been. It was way earlier than I thought then.
Yeah. 10 years before. I think when we were thinking of this about the hostage crisis that came in right as Reagan began his...
The Iran-Contra thing?
No. Iran-Contra was it might be that, but it was the hostage thing that happened.
The one that
Iran.
What's that movie Fargo that just came out?
Argo.
Yes, Fargo.
Argo. Fargo is a complete hostage movie.
They no, send a bunch
Argo
of,
was Jimmy.
They
Carter.
Have a hostage in Fargo.
They send a bunch of guys
that wood
from
chipper's
Minnesota,
really holding them hostage.
Some Minnesota cops to Iran to rescue the hostages.
Pregnant Minnesota cops. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, there, hey.
Played by Ben, not Ben Stiller, the other one. Ben Affleck.
It's Ben Stiller, yes.
Ben Stiller is a pregnant. This is sounding great, actually. We should Kickstarter this.
Ben Stiller as a pregnant woman?
Ben Stiller as a pregnant Minnesota cop goes to Iran to negotiate a hostage crisis.
Actually, that does kind of sound like Ben Stiller's, you know, like right down
right
his alley.
His, yeah.
So,
no, okay. You know what? That's more of a Adam Sandler film. Let's be honest.
Yeah, Adam Sandler.
I'll give credit to Ben Stiller for that, too.
With Mike Myers being the Iranian terrorist in terrible brown face.
Oh, yes.
Love guru style brown face.
With Dana Carvey, too. As a turtle.
As a random turtle. Yeah, I was going to say, just randomly,
you know,
there's a turtle in the desert.
At the start of the conversation, you might have been able to fund a Kickstarter, and I just shot all your chances.
Fuck you, so, I know the internet. I am printing money right now.
Yeah.
So, speaking of movies that are being made, here's a movie that'll scare you. It's called Triplets.
This has been in
the talks for a long time.
Well, it's a sequel to Twins.
Yeah.
With you've seen Twins, right?
Yeah. You know who the triplet is?
Who?
Eddie Murphy.
So it's Eddie Murphy, Danny DeVito, and Arnold Schwarzenegger are triplets.
I feel like that movie's about 20 years past its prime.
20?
Yeah, well,
no.
No, it was actually 20 years old. Jesus Christ.
Resurgence.
He's only taking out the models he hates.
Which is the whole pile.
Oh, the bottle fell on Darius. Nobody cares.
He can repair that.
No, he'll look like he's in a toilet.
Those are supposed to be shipped out to be painted.
Well,
that's
then,
fine. It's solid.
So they're unpainted models that are leaving your home soon. We should just dump beer all over them. It doesn't matter.
They're coming back.
Well, assumedly, the people painting them would clean the beer off before they painted them.
I'm not sure if that's...
I thought you wanted the beer smell.
Point is, Triplets is nowhere... Like, Aykroyd is still trying to make Ghostbusters 3. It's Aykroyd, go away.
Yeah. It would have been nice to see one, but yeah, let it go.
It's like you have Ramis is dead. Murray wants to have nothing to do with it. Not sure. God damn it.
Ernie Hudson.
No, not Ernie Hudson. The guy who's not Martin Short.
Ernie Hudson wants
to do Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis. Yeah. Rick Moranis doesn't act anymore because his wife died. Like, you're running out of cast members. You can't do this.
Speaking of people who disappear from the spotlight, it's nice to see Martin Short in a new television show, too. I have no idea what the show is, but I know he's
that guy John Mulaney show.
Yeah, and John Mulaney's a funny guy. I like his stand-up. I enjoyed New in Town. That was a good stand-up special. The whole thing about the pictures being stolen from the party was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I'm just more of a Mike Birbiglia guy.
Okay.
Did you see Girlfriend's Boyfriend?
Yes.
Yeah, because I recommended that a few episodes ago. That's fucking amazing.
I didn't get off the recommendation.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying that.
I listen to the Bob and Tom show a lot in the morning, and he's on there pretty frequently.
Yeah.
Wait. On 101.5?
We talked about this a couple episodes ago, too. When they're doing sketches and laughing like jackasses, it's the worst thing on the planet. But when it's actually Chick McGee just talking...
Yes, he is unintentionally hilarious.
Chick McGee is intentionally hilarious. Chick McGee is fucking amazing. It's Tom that's unintentionally... Like, that interaction they have is like...
The absolute hatred towards
each other.
Oh, it's
beautiful.
Yes.
I can't make it through it.
I know. Try again and hope that you aren't listening when they're playing one of their stupid sketches or songs. If you get them just talking,
Donnie Baker.
Yeah.
God, I hate that. I want to find the guy who plays Donnie Baker. I just want to punch him in the throat three times, punch him in the junk three more times, and then just knee him right in the face. Hope to drive his nose right back into his brain.
The beautiful animosity between Chick and Tom is one of the greatest working relationships I've ever listened to. It's great. When they're just being themselves. When they're like, hey, here's a funny sketch. I just want to throw my radio out the window.
Yeah.
So our listeners that are out of country, you should try streaming 101.5 in the morning.
Well, Bob and Tom are everywhere.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they are internationally syndicated. They are worldwide.
And that is a national tragedy.
I'm not going to listen to radio anymore.
It's just because it's tainted now?
Oh,
I don't know. The tragedy is I'm losing Comedy Central on Sirius XM here soon.
Oh.
I know. And my wife won't let me renew it.
Speaking of tragedy, this was this news is widespread by now, but this past Saturday was the first Saturday in the last 50 years where none of the network stations had cartoons.
Yeah, I saw that, and that made me a little sad.
Saturday morning cartoons for the first time in 50 years.
Yeah, it was on the news this morning when I got into work. They were talking about the last station that was actually still air, the CW, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
They said, nope, we're done. It's like, wow, there goes a big aspect of my childhood.
Well, and then the article I was reading about this, one of the commentators was like, well, at least we have Cartoon Network. Oh, never mind. Because they don't show cartoons either anymore.
Well, when I watch, they do.
Well, sometimes. They have live-action shit all over the place.
You're about a 1-3 on the live-action to cartoon ratio with Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
I just have not watched it for
ever since the time.
I watch between, like, 10 and midnight at night, which is just, you know, the Adult Swim stuff. So I watched the cartoons.
Remember when Adult Swim had, they were showing Saved by the Bell? That was in protest with the fact that the parent company was picking up live-action television shows. That. Yeah, it was like 5-6 years ago. They did a whole bunch of... They'd have like a Saved by the Bell marathon and everything on Adult Swim. Was in protest with the fact that there was all kinds of live-action shit that was being picked up by Cartoon Network.
Yeah, well, because it was actually succeeding on Adult Swim to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Because they had a whole line of live-action and that's the thing,
even
stuff.
Still, yeah, even Adult Swim, you tell them you have shit like Tim and Eric.
That's true. Yeah. You do. Yeah. I don't like Tim and Eric.
But that one with
and the guy in the guy like trapped Saul in the there's man. Trapped in the internet.
The U.S. Ranger guy, Chris Elliott.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Eagleheart. There we go.
Hey, oh yeah. Hey. Yeah. I don't watch those, but yeah.
But that's all live action,
that's
baby.
True, it is.
Hey, you want to buy a monkey? Hey, little girl. You want to buy a monkey?
Cartoon Network is as cartoon as music television is music.
That's true.
It's going that path.
Going that path, yes. But I would say definitely now that there's still more cartoons current and TV shows.
Every once in a while they will fund something that is a real cartoon.
I'm curious how many
Animal
years...
Animal Planet not really showing anything with animals anymore.
Planet shows animal stuff.
How many years old is Cartoon Network? I'm curious at that same age on music television. Like
they already have Boomerang, which is...
is it the equivalent of
MTV2.
And MTV had MTV2, exactly. Yeah. I'm really curious how closely they mirror each other going down time-wise.
Can you chart the life arc of a television station?
Yeah. Before it gives up on its honesty and starts begging for ratings.
G4 used to be all video games with tech TV.
Oh, yeah.
And then G4. Mm-hmm. And then whatever, some kind of style.
And then they started showing Cops, and I got confused.
Yeah.
And Duck Dynasty is neither arts nor entertainment. And I haven't discovered shit on the Discovery Channel.
October 1st, 1992 was when Cartoon Network was founded.
1492?
Or when it launched.
1992. So they're 22 years old.
Yep. I think it's like 400 years old.
Yes. Yeah,
actually 500. Sorry,
fucking History Channel showing Here Comes Honey Boo Boo and shit like that. Like
that's on TLC.
Yeah,
the Learning Channel. Yeah. I'm learning a lot.
You learned not to watch it, didn't you?
Yeah.
No, to be honest,
I don't want to be like Honey Boo Boo's mom.
The Honey Boo Boo family is a good family. I'll give that
to them. Yes, they are exploiting their child for money and stuff right now. But at the same time, all that money is being saved.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. Exploiting, they're pimping her out, you know, they're doing the show and everything, but I will disagree with the use of the word exploiting, because they are, unlike Kardashians and shit like that, they seem to have an honest interest in the welfare of their child going forward, because like you said, they're putting that money aside.
True, yes.
Like, they're hillbillies with extra toes and inbred, you know, cousins and shit like that.
I just heard that Honey Boo Boo's, he was cheating on her.
He cheated on
her. Because he left his profile, his dating profile, for whatever dating site, just up there. It's like, You really think someone's not going to recognize you?
The
MTV
dad was
1981.
Well, I knew that MTV was 1981 because I know that I am older than MTV.
You chart when you officially declare the downfall of MTV as MTV.
So we have
MTV.
To find out when MTV officially died.
Right.
And then compare that to when Cartoon Network will die as being... Will they just call them Network eventually? Instead of
no, this will be Cartoon Network.
Well, it'll be CN.
They're going to change just like sci-fi.
They'll still be Cartoon Network, but they'll spell it differently. Exactly, like Siffy.
It'll be Cartoon with a K?
Yeah,
T-U-N-E.
Yeah.
It'll be a new NASCAR channel. It'll just be Cartoon. I remember getting those magazines. Yeah,
we need more car shows on TV.
And if you guys ever get cartoons?
No.
I did as a kid.
Nope.
It was a race car themed magazine. It was like Mad Magazine, but it was all about cars.
My uncle, this is true of my uncle, he had a record
stuff about Andy.
When he was a kid, he had a 45 that was nothing but a Camaro going around a racetrack, and he would listen to that thing for hours.
Oh, just the
sound, just the noise. There was no announcer, it wasn't a full race, it was just... And he just listened to that thing. And he's still that way. We went over like for Thanksgiving or Christmas or something, and he had this DVD. He was like, you guys got to see this DVD. It's great. It's awesome. It's awesome. It was a particular airport. I don't remember which one. It was just the video camera would set up so you'd see planes landing and taking off of a particular runway. And his DVD was hours long. And he had like a selection of them. There were several different airports.
That sounds like an Al-Qaeda training video.
Yeah.
He likes vehicles, I guess.
Apparently.
I think everyone knew a kid like that. There was one in my high school that, even into his adult life, would walk around holding his hands like he was driving a car, going...
Oh, don't act like you've never like sitting passenger side in a vehicle and just going...
Whoosh. Or you never turn and go... Arr! Come on. Come on. You do the tire squeal sometimes.
In my car?
No, while walking. You'll do the tight turn and go, Arr! Yeah.
No, I more dip in and do an airplane thing.
He protects
his
turn signals and drives discreetly.
If I get jacked up on enough caffeine, I think I'm a helicopter.
There you go. Andy's showing us the cartoons thing. Nope, none of us have that.
No.
Nope.
I had a normal childhood.
I had Boys Life magazine. Because I was a Cub Scout. It's a Cub Scout magazine. It's not...
And you were happy it had a penis.
All right, Zappity Grumble.
You just made the list.
Yeah, we should go to that soon. We're running times.
Well, you had your phone out. Was that not
Zappity
Grumble?
I was looking up cartoons.
That was strictly for cartoons and nothing else.
All right, I'll get Twitter up here.
All right, I got the Facebooks.
All right.
Nope, I don't.
You son of the bitches.
Isn't it sons of bitches?
Now we are all sons of bitches.
Got it.
All
right, good to go.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Zappity Grumble. Yay! Exigence, good book or best book?
Don't know yet.
Don't know.
Haven't seen it.
That's I
next
know yet.
Week, dumbass.
As a Minion player, best book.
Yeah, it'll be next week's conversation.
Okay, as a Circle player.
Shut up.
Oh, Circle.
Be quiet, Mr. Moonhound and Rotterhorn.
Yeah.
Hey, no, that's like getting Christmas early. It's not fair.
So this is like, you're like the family who opens all their Christmas presents on Christmas Eve, and they're amazing, and then you save like one or two for Christmas, and then they were socks. Is that what you're saying?
No. We opened family Christmas presents on Christmas Eve.
And then the stockings were Christmas morning?
No, then the Santa gifts came Christmas
morning. Oh, right, yeah.
So, it was like epic gifts on Christmas morning. The Christmas Eve gifts were like sweaters and... socks for my grandmother and getting sick off the eggnog and you shouldn't have had that. They had rum in it. Well, why did you let me drink it? I'm only 8.
That explains
that'll
a lot.
That'll learn you.
So, we have a very religious right-wing aunt, and there's one story about me and Christmas. I opened up my present. I pulled it, and I go, I was like 8 or whatever. I go, socks. These must be from Aunt Linda. I just set them aside. And we were like at their house. Like this, like she was right there.
I opened up a gift when I was 16 years old from my Aunt Margaret that was a coloring book and a Dinosaur Connect the Dots book.
Dude, that's awesome. You colored and connected those dots, baby.
Shh. Of course. Hey, one more. My mother-in-law, I'm throwing her under the bus for this. She bought my wife an iPod. And as she's opening it, she hands me one to open. And I'm thinking, it must be something good. Open it up. and it's a wireless router, and she says, oh, that's great. Now she can put her iPod online.
The internet.
How am I not hitting you for this?
You see that video like a month or so ago of this kid getting his gag birthday present? Like his parents, they had his real present, like hidden, whatever. They were going to give it to him 10 seconds later, but they gave him a banana. Like wrapped in a bottle or just a banana. And this kid's like five or whatever. The kid unwraps banana and he goes apeshit. He's so happy. He starts dancing. He's high-fiving people. He eats the banana. He's like, oh, this is the best banana. And he's dancing. Like, I have never been as happy in my life as that kid was for that goddamn banana. Like, it doesn't matter what was in the real box. He could not have been happier than he was for that fucking banana.
There's
potassium deficiency.
There's two things I love about Jimmy Kimmel.
It's the horrible presents
on Christmas, which is an excellent series. Is the so other one good. Is the Halloween candy one?
Yes,
where parents go and eat all the Halloween candy.
What did you do that?
My favorite thing about both of those is people on the internet claiming it's child abuse.
Yeah.
My favorite one out of all of them is where the sweet little girl is like, "That's okay." Yes. You can have it. Like, really? Oh, my God. Yeah. That. Oh, man. Those are so good.
Zappity.
Rumbo.
Does High Command become any more deep with expansions, or is it play still as shallow as the base box?
Definitely it's deeper.
Yeah.
Definitely it's deeper.
It definitely evens itself out a lot more.
And the second core box I don't have yet, but I've heard it's really good. The Mercenary Convergence one.
Yeah.
Like
it's
they,
on the list.
They obviously were watching it and saw the issues and developed it.
Yeah.
It's like just taking time away from War Machine itself is just too hard.
Or just like finding time away from like board games or anything else.
Right. It's difficult for our group, at least in general, that would be interested in High Command trying to fit it into our schedules.
But it is a universally accepted fact from everyone who has experienced them that the game gets significantly better with the expansions.
Yes.
The new especially the location expansions are amazing.
Yes. Yep.
It ends up changing up the game so much where you're just not playing the game by yourself. You actually have to engage other people.
And decks that all they do is buy victory point cards don't automatically win anymore like they did in the base game.
That's what I'm saying. You can't just play with yourself.
Well, you can if you want to, but you have to have like a card holder so that you have one hand free. And
that's what I call High Command.
Oh, God.
Zappity.
Crumble. Do you think that Harry will ever become the Black Staff? Is this a Harry Potter question?
No, it's a Harry Dresden question.
I haven't gotten that far in the books yet.
I'm only through book 6 and halfway through book 7.
I'm not even that far. My wife bought me a bunch of them for my birthday. So
no, I don't think so. At least as far as the Black Staff being an actual position that somebody has, I don't think he'll ever have that role. He might. Does Ebenezer have like a unique staff that he uses? If there is a weapon, Harry might wield it in a moment of desperation in some book-ending climax, but as far as being quote-unquote the Black Staff, I don't think he will ever be that.
Yeah.
Say the Black Staff again.
The Black Staff.
Shut your mouth.
I was only talking about staff.
And I can dig it.
He does dig staff. Black Staff.
Oh, goddamn. Watched into that one.
Again. Zappity.
Grumble.
Nathan, Gary Bento wants to know how you like Utopia, the Fox reality show.
I didn't watch it.
You have? Oh God, it's terrible.
I think it's been canceled already.
I don't have a TV.
So
I don't even know the premise of this.
Okay, all I know about Utopia was that I don't know who did it, but somebody leaked all the onboard footage online, so you can just see all those women's tits and vaginas now, and they have to be mad.
Oh,
and there was some sex going on in there too.
Yeah, and somebody leaked all that footage online, uncensored, and like that's a huge breach of privacy.
No,
it's not much a Nathan rant, as in a Nathan wants to watch.
Well, I've seen those pictures.
I don't think it can be considered a breach of privacy. They probably signed up. Everything filmed.
There was someone who actually sued over the first one where like they didn't edit properly and someone was stealing.
It was Utopia. That was the naked dating show.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
There was a naked dating show where they forgot to blur one of the shots of her vagina. And it was like a heck, because like they were wrestling on the beach, so she's like, she flops on her back, spread legged. Like, it was just like her gynecologist has not seen more than this particular shot. And it went on it was aired on that blurred. She sued.
Yes.
No, yeah. This is a case where it's not being aired, it was just extra footage that they weren't going to put up.
It's like the Fappening, the Utopia version.
Exactly. It's going to happen. I don't know how people can be so stupid that they still think that they can have private lives in the public
eye. I don't think it's
a
stupid thing. I think they're getting upset because they want to try to sue.
Well, to be fair, I'm guaranteed that when they signed up for it, they were assured that everything would be blurred. That's like, these people didn't want their you know, relatives to see their naked bodies on television. I guarantee the contract had a stipulation that they would be blurred. And so it being unblurred is a breach of that contract. Even if it's unintentional.
What if it was a hack?
Doesn't matter. If Fox guaranteed, or whoever, I assume it's Fox because Fox does this shit. Probably, if they guaranteed their privacy, they're like, yeah, you're going to be naked, but don't worry. No one's going to see it. We're going to make sure. Then they're responsible for making sure that doesn't leak out.
Yeah. And also, I wonder how much if it was actually a business decision by Fox to allow that to be shown so they could draw controversy to the show.
And
so
a they calculated could risk.
Yeah, see, like, oh, how much money can we make if we got a ton of people going here to see if they might have a chance at catching a glimpse of a tit?
Yeah.
Frankly, the women on that show, not attractive.
No, they never even tried we have listened to this episode. You aren't attracted to women. Like, let's be honest here. You're all about the black staff.
I was going to say, if they did this in Utopia in, like, you know, Taiwan, you'd be all set. And it just, only blur out the male nipples.
Yeah. Well, my list is up to three people.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Oh, but I don't watch TV. I don't have live TV. I only have cable, so I can only watch stuff on like Hulu and Netflix. So if you want me to be angry about a TV show, make sure it's on Hulu or Netflix.
You have internet.
Yes, I have internet, not television.
Yeah. You can always come over to my place and watch it, but I'm not recording Utopia.
What?
Zappity, grumble. Blah, blah, blah. So Stuart wants an apology.
I'm sorry, Stuart.
He says, please tell him he's good.
Stuart, Nathan has great.
Nathan, you have hurt him so.
How did I hurt him?
Hurt him last week.
What? I was supportive of him last week, wasn't I?
Nope, he was crying. He sent me a very heartfelt PM.
He was referencing something, and none of you got the reference. Only I got the reference.
Yeah, but he said something that Nathan has hurt you.
Well, he likes it when I hurt him.
Hurt him, okay.
He's into that. I don't even remember what the reference was, either.
I don't remember last episode. Helping your case. I honestly don't remember how this podcast started. So,
valid point.
Zavity.
I think it was something about sucking on babies.
Yeah. Mm. Here we go. It's probably for Nathan and myself, and it better be for everyone else. Your favorite Andrew WK song.
Oh, my God.
Oh, don't make me pick.
It's going to be one of the party ones that I know.
mine involves a song of his that, that does not have party in it.
Andy's involves suicide.
Yeah.
No, it's not that one?
Ready to Die.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's time to party.
Didn't he release, like, a classical album, too?
He's pretty well trained.
He's, like, a classically trained pianist.
A high school buddy of mine came up to visit, and we were walking, we left State Street Bratz, and we were walking down State Street, and a woman was walking towards us wearing the Hello Kitty Andrew WK t-shirt that you have. And I was like, Andy has that shirt!
Nice.
But I just started grunting and pointing at her, so I think I scared her. We just walked down the street, all of a sudden this guy's like,
You said you're on State Street. That's typical.
So I'll just say the standard, it's time to party.
It's time to party.
Yeah.
Party.
Have you ever watched the video of that song without the lyrics? Without the music?
No.
So it's just hit the background of yeah. Amazing video.
I saw another video of like something without lyrics, and they just had like the shoes squeaking as people are like dancing and stuff, and it was really awkward.
Yeah, no, it's what, time to party is
just to be different Randall from Jackson. You two. I'll do Party Hard then.
There you go.
Yeah.
I said, don't make me pick.
New York City. Do you honestly like Andrew WK, or are you like, I don't know who he is?
No, I know who he is. I never got drawn into his music.
That album's great.
What is wrong
it
with
is.
You? You do just you, listen. Do you to not like the party? My name is Andy, and I like to party.
Apparently he doesn't like to party. Jeff, no. Do you like to party?
I'm going to get crucified for this, but I honestly have not heard any of his stuff.
That's fine. I'll loan you his his album. He does technically have multiple albums. Yes. I'll loan you the one that anybody cares about.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Okay.
The one that everybody cares about.
Do you kind of like punk music?
It really depends. Like, punk has a pretty wide spectrum of quality and not.
He's like a hard, heavy metal punk.
Okay. Yeah. It's literally
that sounds like something I might enjoy.
A lot of party.
He sounds
very energetic.
Very energetic.
He sounds like a party. That's all. It literally is just party.
Once again, there's a wide spectrum, like vomiting in a toilet party, or like 50 people in a crowded room.
This is more
whatever.
Like, not even like drunk party. This is more like I just down like 15 Red Bulls type of party.
So it's woo in music form.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'll try look into that.
That's a good echo.
Yeah, it was a good echo. Zappity.
Grumble. How much rant could a Nathan rant if Nathan Grant remember? My mouth closed before I could finish talking. How much rant could a Nathan rant if a Nathan could rant more?
So this is an idea I don't think I talked about on air. I mentioned it in the game store one Wednesday. I was thinking for like Child's Play or something like that. If we get like a live stream going so that we have a camera, or whatever, I was gonna do a rant marathon. And it was going to be like, if you pledge X dollars, I will rant on a topic of your choice for a minute.
Yeah,
there is no guarantee he will stop in a minute.
We need to get our streams going.
Well, if you donate 10 times X, you got me for 10 minutes. And I don't care what the topic of it is. If you want a 10-minute furious rant about light switches, I'll manage.
I almost want to get $10
right now. Yeah. So that's an idea I had. Because people wanted a rant-a-sode, and that would be for a good purpose.
Yeah,
either charity or a fundraiser for us to get better equipment.
Well, we definitely need to do a fundraiser so we can get some more equipment. But one thing we could do, too, is we could have somebody playing a game of Unbound in the background while you're just ranting away on their...
If you get two people to record an Unbound game, I can do this as the commentary after the fact.
No, not as the commentary, just during itself, during the live stream. Just taking questions and then just rant.
If they have me judge the War Machine Weekend Championship match again, I'll just do it during the match.
That's probably your good last day as a judge.
You can do anything your last day as a press ganger.
Yep. Zappity.
Grumble.
Cake or pie?
Pie.
Pie.
Pie. Pie.
What kind of cake?
No.
Better yet, pie.
Is Boston cream pie a pie or a cake?
It's a pie.
It's a pie.
It's a pie.
It's definitely a pie. It's a tort, which is a subset of pie.
Even though it's made out of cake.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
so,
I like
so
Boston cream
what
pie.
What is the name of it again? Is it Boston cream cake or is it Boston cream pie?
No, it's Boston cream pie, but it's...
Are we sure this isn't a music question? Because I like Cake. They're a good band.
Oh, Cake is an amazing band.
There's a band named Pie.
There's Humble Pie.
It's also music's been around a long time. There's a band named for anything you can think of.
Yes. But, no pie, for sure. The closest to cake... Frosting is overrated.
I don't like frosting.
The best cake is German chocolate cake, and that's still worse than almost any pie. You give me a coconut cream pie, you give me a cherry pie, you give me...
Rhubarb
pie.
Oh, God, I hate rhubarb.
Oh, any pie.
So fucking A, you are never invited here again.
Key lime?
Everybody else is on the same boat, and you're
I had
like,
rhubarb pie once. I got really sick from it. It's just one of those
Are you
things...
sure it's from rhubarb pie?
Yes.
Was it made it properly? Did they just make it out of the leaves and none of the actual rhubarb stalks?
Was it not
the
rhubarb? Was
are
it that
poison?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Have you had rhubarb pie since then?
Let's put it this way. No, I have not because that was a family thing. We had a rhubarb bush thing in the backyard.
Yeah, somebody didn't cook it right.
No one else got sick.
Tell you what, I'm going to take you to Hubbard Pies in downtown Middleton. And we're going to get you a nice rhubarb pie.
Strawberry rhubarb.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have a cherry rhubarb pie that I also really like.
You'll eat it and you'll like, this is fucking amazing. Because I didn't realize that this existed. That could be
good. That's where we got our... Mm. We did a cheesecake for our wedding cakes and got all six different varieties from Hubbard.
Hubbard is amazing.
Yeah.
Can you get married again? Can you just get the cake again?
Also, tiramisu overrated.
They have like they have like 25 or more different types of
I like
cheesecakes.
I'll eat it if presented.
All right.
So everybody who matters Dumble. Agrees pie.
Exactly. Like it's seriously, everybody has been on the same page except for Newbie.
Yeah.
I didn't disagree with pie.
Yes, you did.
You said pie. No, I asked what. All right. Boston cream pie is.
We're going back to the real. The real said,
"I hate pie."
That's what we all heard.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, that sounded nothing like me.
Well, it was in slow motion.
Yeah,
that would be even.
Because you got to do.
He was on voice disguiser.
Yeah, Zavity.
I hate you guys.
Grumble.
Does Jeremy's fetish have to do with the throne of Everblight?
It could.
I will.
The Venn diagram overlaps.
Yes, that's as far as we'll go. Maybe Proteus.
Zappity.
Crumble.
Would there be for another big worldwide event like WTC each year, if it's so a possible format? I think WTC does a good job at it right now as being, you know, the premier one. I think having more than one a year would actually
dilute it.
Yeah.
I mean, right now we have Iron Gauntlet, which is basically a WTC. You have the War Machine Weekend qualifier, which, you know, I think they have some qualifiers outside of the U.S. too, don't they?
Yeah.
The Small Con is.
Yeah, there's Small Con, and there's some other ones.
I don't think adding another big one to the mix. I mean,
well, and because there's big international events that are like, there's the European Championship things going on, mm-hmm. as well, and so that's international. It's not like international has to include America.
Well, it should.
The WTC had been around for a while, and it just now, last year is when the Americans first got invited. So,
because they were scared of us,
exactly.
Yeah, America,
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 America. Yeah, they were two and four last year, and 1-3 this year,
America. We won. Shut you.
Fuck you.
I said we went 1-3. Our second team got third.
Oh, you first
mean, and, went first and third, not
first
1-3.
Yeah. Saying
we went 1-3 means we went 1-3.
Well, I said we went 2-4 for the previous year.
Which confused me as well. I didn't know there were six games 1 year and four the other year, and how we won with only a 1-3 record.
Well, yeah, they just got drunk.
You're the new Nathan. Or Nate. You're the new Nate newbie.
What?
Ow.
For the next...
Yeah, that's harsh.
Well, don't worry. He'll say something stupid really soon. And he'll be back to being the Nate newbie. But for the next 10 to 15 seconds, you're Nate newbie.
I'll own it.
Grumble.
Like, I'm just sitting there silently trying to draw out as long as possible. Because he knows it doesn't matter what he says next. It's literally irrelevant.
Who would you rather date, Helga or Nate newbie? Chaka chaka.
I was about to check that, you bastard. No, I could.
Well, I thought that was his answer. I thought Andy was going for the option C.
He's going to check it out. Does it have a penis? Oh, jeez, that just killed the conversation.
Helga
or Chaka chaka?
At least Helga's a mammal?
Jaga Jaga's got that snake going on, though.
Too much teeth. Teeth are a factor.
Helga's got the big old titties. And hey, you know what? Helga's slamming.
But I'm would you have liked it better if Helga had multiple cups?
She should have.
She should.
She should have six breasts. I'm surprised I haven't seen people doing that. Somebody, oh my god, in the Something Awful thread... about War Machine and Horde, somebody linked to a Daka Daka thread where somebody was showing off their Everblight, and they had done Lilith. They had painted her with no pants, and they had green-stuffed labia.
Yikes.
Seems classy.
Wow.
And the terrible thing about this thread is, so they post the battle group, and there's the close-up of the Shredders, and there's the close-up of the Carnivia, and there's the close-up of Lilith with her labia, and he's even like, yeah, I modded some genitals to her, yeah, blah, blah. And then the thread goes on for like 30, 40 posts, and nobody says anything about the vagina. Nobody calls him on it the whole fucking thread. It's never mentioned. Like, what?
They're trying to stay classy there.
I don't know if they were all okay with it, or I don't know if they were all okay with it, or if they were all just like, so I guess your Shredders look nice then.
Zavity.
Grumble.
Did Sony make a mistake starting to charge for online on PS4 like Microsoft does for Xbox? They've always had the PS.
Well, right, but now for the online like competitive gameplay. you need to have Plus.
Oh, like, really?
You probably didn't notice for Destiny or whatnot, but if you don't have PlayStation Plus, you can't do the multiplayer or like the cooperative strikes.
Oh.
You can still play the game.
Sure.
And you can still have other people involved in the game, but the stuff that's deliberately interacting with other people, you need Plus for.
Honestly, I think they did it in a slow enough fate. Like, morally, it's one thing, but financially, they did it in a slow enough series of steps that it's not going to bite them. Because they had free internet forever.
Yeah.
And then they had Plus as an option, and then they made Plus worth it. So even as an option, people were like, well, I'm going to get Plus. I mean, you get all these free games, it's totally worth it. So now people are so invested in Plus that it's not a big deal to have Plus required.
Significantly cheaper.
People like Andy who don't even notice. Like, you had already upgraded to Plus. You didn't even know that Destiny required it because
Plus
you
from last year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that they waited financially the right amount of time that they rode that, hey, well, we don't charge for it train as long as they could.
And they compensated enough for it as opposed to Microsoft where it was, you knew you needed to play this game, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they still, I still think they require Plus for like Microsoft their connectivity kind of services.
Too. Not at the start. Like, at the start, it was...
Oh, not at the start, no, but...
They followed in off of Sony's queue with, oh, Sony's going to be giving them games every month. Well, we'll give them games that suck.
Yeah, we'll give out Halo 3. Oh. I think that was, like, one of their first ones. Yeah, like a five-year-old game.
Their lead-in was, like, Fable 2, which you could go to any GameStop in the nation and buy for $3.
Yeah. They weren't smart about it, no.
They're the PlayStation ones, though, are...
Oh, yeah.
Are crazy. Like they gave away Tomb Raider.
Yeah, Tomb Raider, BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
Devil May Cry or DMC.
I still sit on my PS3 upstairs. I started playing it and then I stopped.
One really cool multiplayer thing recently, this is tangential, but I just think this was cool, so I want to mention it, is the Nemesis in Diablo 3 Ultimate Evil Edition. Are you guys familiar with this?
No.
It's super cool. I don't know if it's just on the console versions or if they've like spread it to be included in the PC version as well. But if you're playing and you die to a normal schmuck monster, not an elite, not a boss, just normal schmuck, that schmuck has a percentage chance to open a portal and leave your game.
And then he finds
somebody else on your friends list who is playing, and they're playing, and all of a sudden their controller starts shaking, and they hear like Gabriel's horn just like announcing an army is coming, and it blares like three times, and then an uber strong monster just comes flying out of a portal and murders the shit out of them. And then if they kill it, they get rewards. If they don't kill it, it levels up and finds somebody else on their friends list to murder. Yeah. And it jumps from game to game, murdering the shit out of people, getting stronger and stronger until somebody kills it.
And I've heard, like, when someone does kill it, everyone, like, the predecessors actually get some sort of reward when it finally dies.
I had no clue about this stuff. I'm playing the game, and all of a sudden I just hear this trumpet, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? And all of a sudden a portal opens, and Diablo jumps out and murders the shit out of me. I'm like, what? Google time!
They have something very similar to that in the Shadows of Mordor as well.
Yeah.
Where if you die to like a random grunt, that grunt will actually have a chance to go up into the ranks. Or if you kill off like another grunt could possibly go up into the ranks. Additionally, if you have a friend that's playing the game, that player may run into that grunt and possibly avenge your death.
Yeah.
And get, like, a special experience.
But does the grunt, like metamorphosize into being a god monster?
Probably not.
Because that's what the Nemesis do. Like, it doesn't matter if you're killed by just, like, a little fallen imp. He turns into this Nemesis demon.
Nice. Hmm.
What are we talking about?
Zappity.
Grumble.
I know of a few of you are former GW fans. Does it bother you that while PP puts out a far superior game, their fluff is so much worse?
I would argue that their fluff isn't that much worse. Games Workshop had a very epic setting, but it started to become so washed out after a while. You had to really, really read the dedicated novels to draw much out of the Games Workshop.
Plus, technically, Games Workshop has got almost 20 years on Privateer as well in storytelling.
Yeah, I try to read the fluff. I'm not a big fluff guy, but overall it's...
I enjoy it for what it is. It's not like a requirement to me.
Plus, is anything happening in GW fluff, or is it just their universe is what their universe is?
Nagash is reawoken.
I know there was like the Horus Heresy apparently was a thing.
That's 40K.
Yeah. But that's what
I'm talking for fantasy, like Nagash has awoken again.
That's the big one,
He's basically the biggest thing. He's the reason why undead exist in their world.
Yeah. I mean, War Machine fluff, you can argue, needs a shot in the arm. We talked about this last episode with I think a character death would help a lot, but...
Yeah.
GW's games and fluff are based upon the theory that 12-year-old boys will always exist, which is true. and their fluff show. Like, I think 40K is a terrible game, but Space Marines, like, chainsawing an orc in the face is fucking awesome. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Like, I've got my inner 12-year-old boy that's like, whoa! But, I mean, whatever. It is what it is.
At least with fantasy, they have actually taken steps to kill characters, and their characters are still playable. Like, Vlad von Karstein, he's one of the characters that supposedly died at, the Siege of Altdorf.
Well, yeah, that is one thing, is when you're reading the privateer stuff, you know no one's going to die. Who's got the thicker plot armor? Yeah.
It's just like, I really wish they would kill just one. You don't have to go on a bloodbath. You don't have to have Martin write a book, but just one. Like I said, like if Gareth Voyle had been Severius, if Severius had died there, that would have been really interesting.
Yeah.
You know? And just have it happen. Just have Stryker get just shot in the face.
Did you see the joke that Martin put out? That he was writing a new chapter?
From Hodor's point of view?
From Hodor's point of view.
Oh, yeah.
Just pages of Hodor.
Oh, damn it! I wanted to point out a joke I just heard, but it's a spoiler. Damn it, Andy. There is an even better character to have a chapter from the point of view of that he didn't think that somebody else did.
Who's allowing Brian to ride the salted train to Crix?
Brian says he's 95% sure he's going to get rid of his Scorn. He's tired of Scorn.
He's getting rid of him?
Really? He said in the Focus and Fury thread about accidents that he's like 95% of the chance he's just going to sell all of his Scorn.
He
should
really.
He should goddamn give me his goddamn mammoth.
And his casters for your wheel, that'll cut a faction off.
I'm having my casters painted by somebody really nice. Okay. So,
but yeah, I don't know, because he said that he was like, you know, he's been rut with Scorn for a while, and he said Exigent would really have to shake him out of the rut. And apparently, there's cool stuff for Scorn in there, but apparently not enough for. Maybe there's the 5% chance.
Well, if he's going to stick with that 95, maybe he wants to play Circle.
Yeah. That would be also the reason why that Brian is probably not here today. He's when Brian quit something, by the way, he quit something.
There's no halfway.
Puts it to the death. You know, dog is feeling a little sick. Ah, fuck it. Behind the barn. I mean, I've been friends with Brian since grade school, so I've watched him go through the phases of, you know, like, I'm into this hobby, done. Yeah. But, no. Hopefully he keeps the Scorn around. He's taking a lot of time to paint it.
Yeah.
No, I think we're all... So, because, like, again, keeping this vague, because Andy's Mr. Virginal here, I'm happy with what came out of Exigence. The only, like, newbie here said, some people think Circle got the worst of it. We don't have a Circle player in our podcast. It doesn't matter how bad Legion did. I mean, the general cast. Okay. Doesn't matter how bad Legion did. Jeremy will always delude himself. So,
yeah.
I don't think anybody else on the podcast is quitting their Hordes faction based on.
No, I'm actually really excited.
And even here, yeah. I mean, you like Borka too.
I never went and actually. I don't know about him yet. Spoilers yet. So
I haven't.
Working on him. You're working on him.
I have technically 2 days until I could be spoiled. And
yeah,
I might look on Wednesday during the day because I'm going to see it that night in the book.
Wednesday the book's out. It's not a spoiler, really.
Well, you're gonna if you update War Room, you see it.
Really.
No. The models will all be in War Room.
On Wednesday.
Yeah. Wednesday. I thought you were saying now.
You wouldn't have to look on the internet. You could look on War Room on Wednesday and get actual stats and stuff.
I can't even say it because you're all
in. I know. It's annoying.
It's not annoying. I just, you know.
I know.
Stop it.
I don't even remember. It's, yeah.
It's not even saying anything specific. It's just a theme list that just makes me want to wrap my hands around someone's throat and say, why?
So that theme list is already out. It's one with the Goraxes and Dr. Arcadius.
Oh, it makes me want to kiss someone and say, why?
Wrap your my hands penis around their neck.
Yeah. Not their neck, their penis.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
I was going to go like a David Carradine type way.
Oh, yeah. If they're into that.
It's not hands, then it's a belt.
Oh, yeah, true. Is that the same thing for the lead singer NXS too? Was that?
Yeah, but I think he was alone.
Yeah, okay. So it was David Carradine, I think.
Yeah, he was.
No, well, he was found alone. He didn't.
True.
When you go to Thailand to do freaky sexual stuff, you aren't doing it by yourself.
Maybe he's all about the setting, you know, scenery.
Yeah, that's true. I can only masturbate in Thailand. I don't think that's a common fetish.
I've seen the internet. All right.
For the love of God, Zappity.
We're almost done here. Zappity Grumble. Can PP actually put out another commercially successful game and diversify, or is Monpok and Level 7 a sign that they will have to ride the Worm Hordes train forever? They made me say Worm Hordes. War Machine fucking Hordes. God damn it.
War Machine fucking Hordes.
Yeah.
That's some 34 slash fiction to draw.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if things didn't work out badly for Monpok, it would probably still be going now.
I miss Monpok.
I think the problem is actually the grand success of War Machine and Hordes is just overshadowing everything else that would otherwise be a good product.
Yeah. Yeah. Level 7 is pretty solid. I mean, I like Escape a lot. We have not, as a group, been able to play Invasion yet.
That is true.
No, I said Escape was okay. Mega Protocol is the one I like a lot.
Which I still haven't actually played, but it looks fun. Yeah.
There's some balance issues, but it's fun.
Yeah.
And balance issues are always fixable by like fan by expansions, be they fan-made or official. Yeah. The core gameplay in Omega Protocol was very good.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting in a second group going with that again if you're up to it, Jeremy.
I would like I'd like to play Invasion sometime. I think that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, but it has the unfortunate thing of coming out shortly after they announced an XCOM board game, and guess what? I don't give a shit about anything but XCOM.
Yeah.
I also heard it takes a very, very, very long time to play.
The initial run is extremely long. The ones after that are about the same time frame as like if you sit down and play like StarCraft. Yeah. So it's like a good 3-4 hour game.
And that's the thing, like friggin' the Firefly board game takes forever and a day.
Yeah, it's supposed to take 2 hours.
Yeah, but one's deep enough in the fluff and the setting that it just feels faster. And
I guess so.
And don't bring up StarCraft. Have you got
the Blue Sun expansion yet?
Thanks for letting me win that, Firefly? By the way.
Played it. I didn't get it. Brian actually got it at Gen Con or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, got a chance to play it. It adds so much to the game.
I just picked it up.
So much different.
I haven't played it yet, though, but I just picked it up.
Oh, so it's out.
It came out last week, so.
Oh, great. I get to spend more money.
Hooray!
Grumble.
You ready for...
All right. You were just staring at me. I didn't know that was because you were done with Facebook.
I'm done with Facebook.
Okay, I have Twitter then. Pip asks, where is the missing episode 10? It's there, Pip. I don't know how you're missing it.
Yeah, just look harder.
Just look harder. Zappity, grumble. Eric Davis asks, how do I get in on some of this board gaming action at War Machine Weekend?
Show up at the board game room?
Yeah.
Show up at War Machine Weekend.
Yeah.
And look for people with Zappity Grumble t-shirts. Or
well, just in general, people point. If you go up to any floor and go to those corner conference rooms they have at both ends of every floor, you'll find ones that are open, and in those will be people either painting or playing Werewolf or playing other board games, or some combination of those three things.
Don't play board games in the painting room.
Don't play board games in the Werewolf room.
Yes,
because they will come and kick you out because of noise complaints.
Yes.
Also, your ears will bleed because people are playing fucking Werewolf behind you, and they're like, oh, we're 2 inches away from each other. We better shriek drunkenly at the top of our lungs.
Zappity.
Grubble.
Andy, have you tried Dreadball Thoughts?
I own it. I have not assembled the models, and I've heard it's good. I just haven't... Finding people other than Jeremy here, who's raising his hand, to play Dreadball with, it's been difficult. I mean, it's also, it goes in the same issues that we have with other privateer games, like High Command, finding time for them.
Right. That's the biggest thing. Like, I own it. I've played a couple games of it. Overall, I really enjoy it. I think it's pretty fair, pretty balanced.
It really
doesn't take that long to play once you know the rules, and the rules are fairly simple, not too complicated.
Yeah, maybe we'll assemble my guys and see what I think.
Yeah. Hooray!
Zebedee.
Grumble. What are each of you looking forward to the most from Exigence? Andy can base his response on what he already knows exists. And the rest of us can use code so that Andy doesn't find out what we're talking about. Unless we're talking about things that already
Nothing
are known.
Because I don't have a Hordes army.
Other than like random Trollblood stuff, I don't really have anything else I'm fully interested in there.
The Trollblood stuff you know about, is there anything that you're most interested in? So there's Berka, there's the Highwaymen, whose rules you do not know, but models you've seen, and thus you know only based on theory.
Yeah.
And Dozer and Smigs. Those would be the three that you know about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested in what else is out there for them. I do.
Well,
like,
there's.
I do like the. Fuck you. I do like the Thresher for the pigs. I think that thing's going to be pretty cool. And I definitely like the Gators.
Yeah.
Battle Legion as well.
The fun thing is that the minion stuff, obviously, depending on what faction you work for, can also work for you. It's funny. A lot of Scorn players are like, oh my God, that Thresher. I'm excited about that.
Oh, that will work for the Scorn?
Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe not.
Well,
so,
I mean,
my answer, and this supports Andy's like of not being spoiled. So prior to this last week, I knew about Helga, Yaga Yaga, Battle Engine, Other Battle Engine, and Maximus. The thing I'm most excited about is not one of those five things.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That is pretty interesting.
Yes. So I'm not going to say more because Andy doesn't even know anything about it, but that other thing I'm super excited about.
Name.
Yeah, I forget.
Let me get Afraid or
yes,
yeah, whatever.
Let's leave it at that. Point is, I'm super excited about that. I don't know what factions it works for, but I think that people need to look at it and look at what they bring. Again, Scorn players have been pissing themselves about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited about that.
I'm excited about that thing too. But I'm also
does
really
it work for trolls?
I have no idea.
Is Farstrike friendly faction?
It is.
Oh wait, it's friendly faction
or no,
or it's
no.
friendly.
It's friendly.
Yeah,
People have been getting alt nationally since...
You should be excited if it works for trolls, then.
Yes. I'm excited about that. I'm also really excited about the Highwaymen. If the spoilers are correct, they look tasty.
You didn't have words? Mr. Cool. Maybe played Circle?
Okay, well...
I hate Circle. All the awesome releases are out.
I am so mad at Circle players because they hate... One of the things that they got... Oh my God, Andy, you're pissing me off. They hate one of the things that they got...
You can spoil Circle for me.
I'm going to spoil one thing for Circle.
Okay.
There is a character trio that I think is balls out amazing and Circle players hate. Here's the thing. Here's a spoiler. So the initial spoiler is bad because it's a three-man unit. They have Heart Taker like Tharn. And the spoiler was like, they could spend a heart if they don't kill something to do an auto point. And that's terrible. Turns out that spoiler is backwards.
Right.
They can spend a heart to have the ability of the Menoth book where they only take 1 point of damage regardless of how much damage you did to it.
So they get Magical Shroud.
Yeah, right? they get Engine Shroud. Yeah. So it's a three-man character unit that goes around murdering people in melee and then like, oh, you hit me with a POW 20 and rolled 666. I take one damage. Hold the zone, fucker. That's awesome! And they have gang, I believe, with each other.
You can put Revive on them, can't you?
Yeah!
But they're
big. No, because Revive, Grunts come back, and since it's a character unit, there's no Grunt.
Okay.
It's like Larry Moe and Curly.
So it's not like Cassius and his...
No, it's more like the Wither Shadow, where
all three have names. Characters, okay.
Yeah.
I just have two arguments with that. One is the low PS on them.
That's true, they're weak, but you have Storm Rager.
Yeah, which only affects one at a time.
And they're strong enough to kill infantry and gather their hearts.
What is their weapon skill?
One of them has reach and a single attack. The other two have two attacks. And I believe the single attack is like POW 11, and the weaker ones are like POW 9s.
That kills infantry.
One has
reach and a high POW. One has a lower POW, but powerful charge.
And the other one has two attacks.
And the other one has two at like 9.
I'm guessing they have stealth and,
they have
and Pathfinder.
Prowl
and
Pathfinder.
Is still just as good.
Pathfinder is universal.
No, Prowl is not as good as
they
stealth.
They have Prowl and Pathfinder.
It's useful in Circle because they can fit them in a druid cost.
To be fair, they are 5 points, which is steep. They probably, but on the other hand, if they get heart tokens on them and hold the zone against things that are doing a million damage.
The entire thing is facing living models with the witch doctor out there. It doesn't happen nearly as often now.
That's true. They do get to start with a heart token each, though.
Which, yes, it mitigates some of it.
Yes,
but it's still just, in some metas, it's just not going to work.
That's but true. You have to live with the fact that you're not going to find living models everywhere.
Crix has to live with that every day.
In fairness, your beast pack is terrible.
What beast pack?
I gotta say.
Or was that Legion?
I gotta say.
Whoever got the least beach pack that wasn't Scorn, it's terrible.
That'd be Legion.
Sorry, Legion.
I don't know. They kind of have their use.
I am curious about the beast packs just to find
out.
I was really
hoping
that the Circle was going to get a beast pack.
People are talking about will Revive work on beast packs because they're technically a unit? Well, the thing is, I won't answer a single one of these questions until I read word for word the description of how beast packs work because I don't know what's a grunt. I don't know what's a trooper. I don't know what's a unit versus a beast pack. People need to calm down and wait 2 more days till they have the exact wording on how beast packs work because everything hinges on that.
I think we should get back to the excitement thing, though.
Yeah, what are you excited about, Circle
Player? Okay, I'm excited for what Bradagus might actually mean for the faction. I mean, as what he the next book might actually bring in, because this is a whole new way to run constructs.
Yeah.
But actually, in terms of what's in the book, Gator Battle Engine.
That thing's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
And, oh my god, fucking Sevwall. Sevwall, you're so dumb. So he's a Gator player, and he's like, yeah, I don't think the Battle Engine's going to be in any of my lists, because, I mean, he's just got one shot. I can't rely on him having more than one shot, so why wouldn't I just bring the turtle that I could shoot with the turtle? It's like, you could literally never attack, and two Gator Battle Engines will wipe out entire fucking armies.
Yeah.
Never attacking. They'll just walk up the board, and hundreds of infantry will die.
And the absolute best part, the fact that Rick
Way
is
spiny
just,
both of them.
Yeah. Rick Way is just adamant. The fact that other factions are going to have access to these makes me feel vomitous. That makes me feel even better about buying two and then running them against you.
You don't get to use the soul thing, though. That's Gator Castor only.
That's no big deal.
I kind of agree with Rick in a sense. I don't think that they should be allowed in other factions. Generally, battle engines haven't been allowed in other factions.
Well, that's only because mercs haven't had one yet.
Yeah.
True.
I mean,
yeah.
True.
You can take the Gargantuan in non-merc lists.
Colossal.
Yes.
Well, you have to take a special caster to be able to do that. That's the same thing as taking Wrong Iron Snapjaw in your merc list. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's there has not yet been a battle engine that worked for mercs or minions that couldn't work for other factions.
That's
so it's not like precedence was set. It just wasn't. There was a lack of precedence.
That's true. Okay. All right. You have swayed me, sir.
Burp-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop. Zap, zappity. That's a long one. Did you kickstart Shadows Over Westminster? If yes, thoughts?
No.
Never heard of it. Zappity.
No more.
One of you gets to go to the WTC next year. Who would it be?
Not me.
Well, I mean, we'd have to be on a podcast in order to be able to go to the WTC.
I think we're on a podcast.
A recognizable podcast.
One that actually talks about War Machine. More than
Screw
5 minutes.
That.
there was the use of the word War Machine at least twice this episode.
To be perfectly honest, we're the only podcast to not be invited to Team Muse.
Yeah.
You bastards.
Seriously. I mean, honestly, how did all of us miss any kind of invite to Team Muse?
Even as
like an honorary. I mean, we fit the ideals. I guess we just don't win games.
John talked to me about writing articles, but that's not the same thing.
No, that's completely different. That's not Team Muse.
Yeah, I don't even know what Team Muse is.
It's basically for podcasts that are on their dish.
Yeah, but what is it?
It's just
what does it do?
It's people who throw games to each other to pass.
Maybe that's
how long were you working for that line there?
Scoopgate.
I really don't mean that, but
right.
It's what some people have argued. That's what Team Muse is. Oh,
Scoopgate. The views of Andy do not recognize.
I didn't mention names.
Yes.
Zappity.
Grumble.
I think that was the last one.
I think none of us are getting to the WTC after that.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't really have anybody that's like a balls out, you know, convention winner in our meta.
We have a lot of
bridesmaids, but not a.
Next year, I plan to go to several. Next year, I plan to go super competitive, and I'm curious to see what'll happen. Like, I'm going to go to Adepticon and Gen Con. I hope to go to at least 4 conventions and play in the Iron Gauntlets and Masters in all of them, just to see how I do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel overall our meta in general is more for the more about the casual player and not so much about the.
And it's interesting because we're not bad.
No.
We just don't break our balls caring.
Right. Well, none of us go and do like 20 games a week either.
We understand that there's more, and sometimes burning yourself out on the game playing it like that, it loses its purpose.
And it's kind of funny because, and Andy, again, we'll know the same thing. If you go back like 5-6 years, Madison used to round up 2 carloads of people, drive to neighboring states if they ever had a tournament, get 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, steal all their shit, and leave. It was like Vikings pillaging. We would just show up, take all their property, and leave. No one could beat us. Like, we were just like Milwaukee feared us. Chicago feared us. We'd just go and say, that's our shit. Bye.
We would never get an invite from Milwaukee for a while there.
Yeah.
No, but we just still don't do that anymore. We still pillage. We still pillage places.
But, I mean, we do well, but we don't necessarily sweep 1, 2, 3. And we don't go there like, we're going to fuck over Chicago now, buddies. I don't know how much is that they've stepped up their game, because you have people like Jordan Knock and stuff like that in those metas that have strengthened them a bit. You know, I mean, we had like Keith was still in our meta at the time, and Jim was playing a lot harder at the time, and so we were just. But even then, we weren't like we didn't really fucking like our lives depended on going to the War Machine Weekend qualifier.
No,
you know,
no. I mean, it was. Something good if it did happen. Like Ben Rizlov, you know, he made it into the War Machine Weekend qualifier.
Yeah, and we high fived and we're proud of him. We go to the seed events and try to qualify, but if we don't, we're like, I got 4th at a tournament. Not fuck, I didn't get in. I better drive to Minnesota for the next one, and I got a cram session and play 10 games the night before.
Oh, man, I want to say something so bad. I'm not gonna say it.
Come on, Andy. Nope. Let her ride.
Nope.
You should have had another drink. Then you would have said it.
I probably would have. No.
Come on, it's no good to hold things in like.
Were you gonna say something about somebody in our meta or in other metas?
I'm not gonna say.
Okay.
I'm not mentioning names. I'm done.
All right.
Mention initials.
No.
do code. Be like, it starts with a K and rhymes with Eth Christensen. Like, do something like that.
It's got 5 letters.
All right.
I'm out of Zappity Grumbles.
Yep, we're done.
What with Zappity Grumbles?
Yeah, are we going to do recommendations?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go first, and I don't give a shit what anybody says. I'm still going to recommend it, even though the season finale was kind of meh.
Got a D+ if I know what you're going to recommend.
The Strain.
Yeah, D+ according to AV Club. for the finale. They're like, the finale was terrible.
Finale was pretty terrible. It did set it up for another season, but there was a lot of awesome buildup up until this point, and it was just kind of... So, if it doesn't get picked up, then it'll just be one of those seasons that's like... But I think it's got picked up for a second season, so... I like The Strain. It's, you know, it's like we argued about this before. A horror movie, you're going to have characters do stupid things just because horror. You have to have that element of like, what the fuck are you doing? And yeah, that show has it. It also has some really cool characters. Anyway, I'm done.
Cool.
Okay, I'll go.
Yes.
Well, actually, I kind of have two.
Oh, son of a...
Oh, all right. Man!
Shadow of Mordor. Excellent game. It's the people say it's been like a reskin Batman Arkham, whatever.
Use the same combo.
Except
system.
It's so much better. The Nemesis system that's in there, and just the ultra violence, and the gameplay, and the animations, and the sound. Yes, it's good. My other recommendation: The Blacklist. I just went through the entire first season on Netflix. 22 episodes was kind of hard to do, but it was just such a great show.
Nathan did that too.
Yeah, we marathoned it. Yeah, it's. I would say it would be, man alive, if it weren't for James Spader, that would be an aggressively C-minus show.
Right, but he just brings it up.
Yes.
And the second season has been really good so far. With the introduction of, what's his name? The
Berlin.
Yeah, I was going to say the... Peter Stormare. There we go.
Yeah, who's the bad guy in Fargo?
He's everywhere.
He is everywhere.
He's in Destiny.
Yes, he is in Destiny. When I heard his voice going, I'm like, yeah! And no, I really, really like... you ever see the commercials for, I think it's like Black Ops 2, where they had the Replacements?
Oh, it's a good band. Oh, yeah.
Because they had him and the guy, the comedian who was on the Larry David show, Curb Your Enthusiasm, as one of the Blacks. And I'm saying that because that's his character's name. He was a family of Blacks that lived in Larry David's house.
Their surname is Black.
Yes.
But it's hilarious because they are Black, and so anytime they're like, yeah, so the Blacks really annoy me, or whatever.
Oh my god, that's my recommendation. Curb Your Enthusiasm. We can finish talking about Blacklist first, but spoilers, I'm going to recommend a Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Well, I'm done with Blacklist. It's just a great, great, great show.
That's, yeah. I've liked the show a lot, too.
I mean, some of the stuff is kind of...
Well, they do the... I don't remember if this was before Andy started recording last week or if I talked about this on air, but they do the really annoying procedural stuff. Like, the example I had is, like, you know, they can't solve the mystery, and they're like, oh, my God, I don't know who the killer is. I just have no idea, and my T-shirt's really itchy. T-shirt. Tea. Tea is from China, and there was that one Chinese guy a block and a half away from the... He's the killer! You know, the C for Catwoman bullshit from the Batman movie. They do that every fucking episode because it's generic, cliched procedural, but on the other hand, James Spader runs around shooting people in the face, and that's awesome.
I have heard this anecdote that you have had.
I change it every time.
Each time it has been different. So
I want to keep it fresh for you.
Yes, I have heard it a lot of times.
But it's true.
It is very true. There's very cookie cutter stuff in there. But yeah.
Oh my god! The fucking serial number off of the centrifuge in the one episode. Really, they find a scrap of paper with like two numbers printed on it, and they figured out it's a serial number from a centrifuge, and they try. Track down the specific centrifuge. What? Fuck you.
Piece of burned paper with Berlin. It must be a place. There must be someone in Berlin. Yeah. Not the name?
Yeah, Irving Berlin. Anyway, I'm going to recommend Curb Your Enthusiasm. That show is goddamn amazing.
I'm upset that there hasn't been any new seasons.
He says there's going to be more. He's what's the word I'm looking for?
Uninspired?
Not unfathomably. The way people normally act. Characteristically. He's uncharacteristically optimistic that he's going to have more Curb Your Enthusiasm. But that show's great. It's like, if you haven't seen it, here's the warning. Do you like The Producers? Do you like shows or movies where every character, like Always Sunny in Philadelphia, every single person on Curb Your Enthusiasm is a detestable human being.
Not all.
With the possible exception of his wife.
Yeah.
But Curb Your Enthusiasm is based around characters who are detestable and horrible, and you hate them, but it's funny because they're detestable and horrible things happen to them.
Yeah.
Oh, you sold me.
It's so good. Yeah. Have you not seen it at all? Or?
I haven't.
Oh, it's so good.
I have HBO now.
Oh, you need to watch it. It's so good. Just because, like, it's all about, like, miscommunications and dare, like, one thing will go wrong and it'll try to fix it and it spouts out of control. You know, like.
It's a train wreck show.
Slow motion train wrecks. Like, there's one where he loans his favorite golf club to his buddy's dad, and his buddy's dad dies, and he's going to be buried with, quote, his favorite golf club, which is Larry's golf club. But there's an open casting funeral, so Larry's plan is that he's going to take a different golf club to the funeral, and when he goes up to pay his respects, he's going to switch golf clubs because he wants his golf club back before they bury him. And yeah, it's just shit like that. It's so hilarious. Or like there's one where Michael J. Fox as himself moves upstairs to Larry David. And so Larry's doing stuff, and there's like loud noise upstairs. And so he goes up to complain about the noise, and it's Michael J. Fox. And so he's like, hey, lots of noise, whatever. And so Fox like spills his drink on him. And so Larry's like, that was too much for the Parkinson's. He did that on purpose.
No. J. Fox asked him if he wanted a soda.
Yeah, he wanted a soda. He shook it up. That's right. He shook up his soda before giving it to him, so it explodes on him. And he's like, he did that on purpose. That wasn't just the Parkinson's. That was too much. And so, of course, he's telling people. People are like, oh, my God. It's Michael J. Fox. He has Parkinson's. Oh, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, the time that he decided that he was going down to the stadium for some odd reason, but he didn't want to go into traffic, so he hired a hooker to sit in his car so he could take the carpool lane.
But then he gets to the show, and she's like, I'm not going to wait in the car, so he has to buy her a ticket to the baseball game.
So good.
Oh, shit, I'm going to go home and watch all the episodes again.
Yep.
Or... there's the one with there was going to be they were going to relaunch because Larry David was like head writer and one of the producers whatever on Seinfeld. So this episode was talking about relaunching Seinfeld. So they got all the people together again as themselves. They have Jerry Seinfeld and they have what's his face? Who played Kramer? Because Alexander was the pen thing. Who played
Michael Richards?
Michael Richards. You might recall Michael Richards had some issues with his most recent and last to this date stand-up performance where he might have used the N-word against people in the audience. So Michael Richards' career basically ruined because of that. So on this episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, a person who happens to be black does something terrible to Michael Richards. So Michael Richards, like, chasing him out into the street, and he's like, you know what? It's people like you who are ruining America. It's people like you. And he just starts screaming at this guy, and he looks around, and there's, like, 50 people watching. He's like, oh, no, not again! And he runs away.
Yeah.
And that's Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah. If you like train wreck shows, I mean...
Always Sunny.
The other one I would recommend, because it's definitely a train wreck, is The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd and Margaret.
Yes. Same thing.
That's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's only two seasons. It's only, I think, like 6 episodes total. And it is...
No, because the first one's at least 6. I think it's 6 and 6. I think it's a dozen episodes.
Yeah. But it is just horrible.
Train wreck.
Absolute horrible. Just...
But it's more terrible. Like it's almost just painfully terrible. Like it's Schadenfreude. Curb Enthusiasm at least has jokes in the Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Barker is just terrible Schadenfreude. Although it did have me laugh at an increasingly rotting cat. He leaves his cat at home, and at the end of each episode, they check in on his cat just for like 10 seconds. And like the first episode, there's just like a big bucket of food or whatever. And I think the cat might be dead even by the end of the first episode.
No, the cat was like, he was eating the food. In the second episode, they show the cat like just huge.
And like the next one, he's like dead. And like the next one, and then like the next one, there's like ravens and raccoons in his apartment, like eating the cat and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. My original recommendation was to do something outside because the earth is beautiful, but I'm going to don't do that. Stay inside and watch Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Well, yeah. Have you seen how the weather turned this past week?
The leaves and shit. Chris. Put on a windbreaker. It's crisp. I love winter.
I love
winter. Thank you. Someone else who agrees with winter.
My perfect winter, it would snow like 50 inches. It would all be plowed, and then it would never snow again for 3 months. So we could have shitloads of snow everywhere that isn't the road, and I could go skiing, and I could go sledding, and I could go ice fishing, but I wouldn't have to deal with shitheads who can't drive.
Okay, well, that's the utopian winter. We live in what's called fucking Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, it's not my fault, asshole. I'm not looking forward to the Beltline this year in the winter. This could be the worst. Yeah.
For the next 2 years.
For the next 5 years?
They said 2016 was...
like one of the phases. The overall construction is going on for 6 years.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as soon as they're done, they're going to decide, hey, let's put those solar panels in and make it all...
Anyway, Jeff, your recommendation?
I recommend you listen to more of Nathan's rants. Now, if I had to pick a recommendation, though, and it's been done before, but just throw your money, all of it, straight into Telltale Games.
Yes.
Like every one of the games they've made in the past like 4 years that I've picked up, I have enjoyed. Right now I'm playing The Wolf Among Us, which I know has already been recommended, but it's a lot of fun. The second season of The Walking Dead is still good, not as great as the first one, but still really good.
Yeah, yeah. The final scene.
Yep.
I was literally like squirming in my seat, like, oh my god.
What do I do?
And they gave me a decision and I'm like,
he's about to be really actually stall out and don't make a choice.
Yeah, there were two decisions in season two that I stalled out until there was like a atom's width of timer because I literally could not decide. One of them, I stole medicine from someone and I felt terrible. But I needed that goddamn medicine.
Yep, me too.
Oh, but I did not want to take it.
And the looks you get, holy cow. Yeah.
I will admit I kind of teared up at the end of the first season.
Yeah. Have you played the second one yet?
I haven't had a chance.
Oh, it's done now, so you can marathon the whole thing.
That's how I play them. It's my one qualm with the Telltale systems. I just want the whole package that I can buy and play, and not the one now and another in 2 months and another in 3 months past that. But no, I've really enjoyed both parts of Walking Dead. I'm really enjoying Wolf Among Us. I had a lot of fun with Back to the Future. The re-envisionings of Sam and Max are really good.
I'm looking forward to the Borderlands.
Yeah, yeah. I was really skeptical for a while, but the record's been so good. It's like, nope, screw it. They're just gonna get my money for it. Like, yep. I don't think they're gonna screw it up. So, yeah, just throw your money straight at Telltale Games.
So if they Kickstarted a story,
I don't go for it.
Hypocrite.
No, he said he wouldn't go for it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was expecting you to say you would.
No, because it's I want them to succeed on their own merits this point in time. Like, they've got a working formula. They're getting my money, so that hopefully they will succeed from it, but I'm not going to put forward the money to make certain they're making a game to my tastes. Because they are a company of
worth. That's the wrong word to be using, but they are established. Yeah. Well, I mean, you can put value on a lot of things that's not going to make you money.
They could have done better with Poker Night 2 on the PS3.
Yeah.
I didn't mess around with it.
A poker game with people on
but,
it.
But the Poker Night 2 on the PS3 was riddled with so many problems where it just didn't run well.
I never tried that one, so I can't give him credit for that. But even going back to like the Tales of Monkey Island franchise, those were surprisingly clever. Like, they were basic back in the Telltale formula, but they were surprisingly fun
games. That and Full Throttle. I love
Full Throttle.
The original Full Throttle, that was Telltale?
No, that wasn't Telltale, it's the same vein as like an adventure-style game. And that's basically what Walking Dead is. It's an adventure-style game.
It's a point-and-click adventure game, which are dead apart from them, I think.
Yeah.
Because LucasArts doesn't exist anymore.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct. So, yeah awesome.
I support Telltale.
Jeremy!
Awesome. Well, I was going to go with recommending Grimm, which is actually a pretty good TV show. I've gone through the first two seasons. I'm on season three. You give me this look like you disagree.
I don't disagree. It's just...
I agree. I support Grimmangus.
Like, I like the concept.
I like Mr. Grimm from Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
I always played as Mr. Grimm in Twisted Metal. All the Twisted Metals. He was my favorite.
Yeah.
But I'm actually going to recommend Flight of the Conchords.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah.
Hip-hop-opotamus.
Yes. I know. It's old. I've watched them. I keep watching them. They're good.
I would say for me... I've only seen a couple episodes. It feels like to me a poor man's Tenacious D.
Yeah. It is.
And it's a folk group version of Tenacious D. Yeah, like
Tenacious D is a folk group.
Yeah. Okay. They're a jazz band now.
They're it's a New Zealand Tenacious D.
Okay. All right.
But yeah.
All right. Sweet.
Hooray! That's a podcast. I have to go pick up my wife from work now.
Number.
I think it's our.
It was 89.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it was ever said, though.
We'll start over. Welcome to episode 89 of Crippled System.
We have to do this all again?
You can leave.
No, we edit that in. We'll just take that sound button and just drop it right in the front. That
we'll just have a button, and every once in a while I'll press it, and it'll just be you saying, I'm just happy it had a penis.
or just you saying, no, I disagree with you guys. I like my idea better. Cake's the best. Cake with a penis.
We can compromise. We have cake pie.
Was it American Pie?
I love the Black Staff.
American Pie was terrible.
No.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
The song?
Okay. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the crappy movies.
No.
The movie is decent. It's no Porky's. The first American Pie movie is solid.
Actually, yeah.
Right.
You should actually.
But then they decided, hey, let's make money off of this.
Right.
Well, whenever they go to the cash in, it's just.
Because they knew people would give them money.
Yeah. And there's only so many times you can see Stifler have horrible things happen to him before it says. It's not funny anymore. I just feel sorry for him.
I could see that. I could see a movie where Sean William Scott just gets beat up the entire film.
It's called The Rundown.
Yeah.
Which is better?
It's also called The Goon.
Sean William Scott movie.
Possibly a separate question.
So first, which is a better movie with Sean William Scott? And then which is a better Sean William Scott performance? Rundown or Role Models?
Or The Goon.
Man.
Okay, fine. You can write in The Goon. But
wow.
Rundown or Role Models is my first two. If you really have to write in The Goon, you can. But
I think I take Rundown.
I honestly take The Goon.
Yeah.
I like his performance in it because it's kind of heartfelt at the same time, incredibly violent.
We were driving home the other day, and Love Gun started playing on the radio, and I started ranting about Paul Stanley's dick to my wife, and she didn't get the reference at first. I'm just like, it's Paul Stanley's dick! And like, they're these fat Jewish guys, and they put on makeup and get all the pussy, and she's like, what is wrong with you?
Nice. Yeah.
All right, now we should stop talking.
Role Models is good, though, but I really like The Goon. I've already recommended that before the podcast.
It's on my instant queue. I'll watch it one of these years.
Oh, it's good.
It's worth a watch.
It's on my instant queue, along with 150 other things. I occasionally
put it towards the top.
What else do you have to do?
What I actually do is, here's my thing with Netflix. There's a website that does random number generator, so I pick a number between 1 and whatever my queue is at right now, which I believe it's currently like 184 things, and I generate it, I go to that number, and whatever it is, I either have to watch it immediately or delete it from my queue.
Interesting. Last Saturday, we did force...
You didn't say you're right.
We did force somebody who hasn't seen two movies that I figured that they needed to see. One was Equilibrium.
Sure.
They've never seen so that.
Good. And then you're going to say Ultraviolet, and I'm going to jump across this table.
Okay. No, nobody need. Well, it needs to be watched.
Ultraviolet is equilibrium perfected. Just yeah, ask the director.
That's what Kurt Wimmer says.
The creator of the movie says that, to answer your who said that.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, he said, I'm glad I made Ultraviolet because it perfected what I envisioned with equilibrium.
Here's my Ultraviolet story. Is for one of my birthdays, I just did a bad movie night, and Ultraviolet was like, we went to Pan America. It's like, hey, Ultraviolet, this seems like a bad movie.
It is a bad movie.
It started bugging out about two-thirds of the way through and wasn't playing.
Lucky duck.
And we basically went like, yep, I'm not even going to drive this back for a refund. It's not worth the time.
Get out of jail free card. Speaking of bad movies, I think we should watch Dracula.
Is it Dracula Untold?
Yeah.
I think so.
We're going to pain train?
Yeah, I think it needs to be pain train.
That needs to be pain train.
Oh, it's going to be so fucking painful. But anyway, the other movie that I made them watch was Speed Racer.
That's amazing.
That movie. One's good.
We now sit at, honestly, 100% of people that we have dragged kicking and screaming to watch Speed Racer.
I think it's everyone's like first experience of Speed Racer. And, like, nobody's first viewing is like 100% like, yeah, I gotta see Speed Racer.
Yeah.
Like, that happens after the
fact.
They
all think they're being punked. You're like, dude, seriously, you need to, come on, let's watch Speed Racer. They're like, you are playing a terrible joke on me.
Yeah. Nope. No, we're not. The movie's amazing. If you disagree with this, newbie, you will never be on this podcast again.
I have not seen it. I cannot pass judgment on a movie I have not seen.
All right.
It has a guy named Snake Oiler. He battles using snakes and oil.
Yes.
What more can you ask for?
Wow. It has a kid with pajamas that have monkeys on them, and his monkey has pajamas with kids on them.
What are you doing for the next 2 hours?
Going watching home Speed and Racer. Sleeping.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
Right. Zavity.
That was Andy's plan.
To sleep with Nate Newby's wife?
What?